get intimate.
Everybody loves Donna Bike.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Didn't I see you enjoying a sandwich with Sam Huff at the Redskins game on Friday Night Raw?
Why, yes.
Yes, you did.
Chews with his mouth open.
Well, it remains to be seen.
That is Sam Huff's Indian name.
Chews with his mouth open. He was very nice to my wife, so thank you, Sam, for coming by the beer garden.
He's a nice guy. My wife enjoys them.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Klaus von Osma and all the ships at sea. Back after a busy weekend in Corpus Christi battling Hurricane Brett Marski, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast. Still nationwide is still BFS with Bud, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. And that's why we insist you refer to it as your cotton picking Donna Mike show.
We don't come up on the short end of the stick.
We are coming to you from the station that smells like death, and especially on a day like today when the air conditioning breaks.
Yeah, and they put some sort of chlorine gas in the pipeline here. I don't know what it is.
It's a combination smell of death, farts, and ammonia.
Yeah, lovely.
The smell of radio station WJFK, our home station. Of course, the mumbler, Ken Stevens, he's the general manager, a hideous skin tag, six car garage. The gerbil, little skinny Jeremy Coleman, he's the program director as we speak. He's in a little ball, a little human ball underneath the desk on the third floor. Big Daddy Mel rules the world from New York City. Rub on those cufflinks for good luck. And, of course, our absentee manager.
Yeah.
Our absentee agent. Junior Soprano in Chicago. That's a mighty chain of command. Those people that put on the show every day. Word of advice now for you soccer moms. Please take Junior and Missy, and I hope you've already moved them way to the back of your minivan, because look at that. I've just whipped it out.
Is that a Jesse Ventura mustache?
It's not a mustache, Mike.
Oh, my God.
It's curly, though.
Oh, God.
Another perfectly executed over this big time major market radio show. Arbitron rated at any moment, the ratings company tells us, at any given moment, 5 million kooky, crazy people are listening to this show.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
And we are excited about that. Here he is to my left and to your right. Pornography buddy number one.
Wow.
Buzz, when you're going to send me those email photos in the future, just please put them in a baby carriage. I just walk them up to my house. Here is email buddy Guy Burnley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, sick Buzz.
Hi. You topped yourself with that email today, Buzz.
Yeah, they're getting nasty, Buzz.
Yeah, then you asked for it.
I know.
It.
And that was the heading on the email from Buzz.
Yeah, every
you
day.
Asked for it.
There it is. Yeah. His one sentence little precursor to this horrible picture.
Right. Thank you, Buzz. I know that you get down on your knees every night, and thank God that Al Gore invented the internet.
Do I ever.
So that you could continue to send us those dirty photos.
Yeah.
First item, it's a new show today, of course. It's Monday, 23rd of August. And the phone number, us three, okay, Dodo.
That's it, and we have the new song that opened the show, too.
Phone number, 1-877-365-3636. And yes, we want to thank the guys at... Did they give a name of the group here?
Hope they do, because that was really...
Juice.
Juice? The name of it's Juice.
Juice. Why are you doing this to me?
Juice. Got a letter from the guys in Wichita who cut us the new opening for the show.
Did a great job.
Don and Mike, ask and ye shall receive. Here's the revised version of the Don and Mike song.
Right.
We had to completely re-record the song and revise the lyrics. We kept the song very true to the first version.
Yep.
We feel this version is even better. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was a little crisper, a little sharper. I thought it moved.
It sizzled. When you first announced you were getting a new phone number a month ago, we tried to call and get the new number to recut the song. However, Mike E. Dickhead blew off our calls on every attempt.
Oh, Rockhead!
Please reprimand him. It would please us greatly. You know, I'm starting to feel a level of hatred from the audience for Mike Rockhead that it's not yet to Lewis the retard level.
No, but there's something happening. It's brewing, and I believe it brews on those phones back in the little producer's room.
There's some hatred there. Mm. There's love here.
And there's love here.
Bobby engineered the recording and added backing vocals, and we'll give them a plug at www.cosmic with a K, K-O-Z-M-I-C, cosmicmedia.com. Mac.com.
That was really terrific. Not only that they did a new one, but that they turned it around so fast and got it to us here. We really, really appreciate it.
Juice. The group that did the song, they can be found on the web at www.sugarplanet.com/Juice.
That's a lot of information for them. That's a, you know, that crazy internet.
We want to thank them. Beautiful. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some business to take care of before we get on with the show today. First, I know we're going to get calls from Detroit.
Our
show is not on in Detroit right now because they've gone with the two local schmucks.
Right.
The Rub-A-Dub Boys in Afternoon Drive.
The local schmucks that came from another town to be local schmucks.
Right. Our show will restart on 97.1 in Detroit on Wednesday, September 8th.
We're looking forward to it. We're very excited about it. And as we told you, we are going to be back on in Detroit. That is true, and that's going to happen.
They just got to work out the contract or the disc jockey that they have on now, and because the show that will be fed to Detroit will be a replay of our previous show. The station is actually finally going to buy us a digital editor.
Very good.
Which we've been screaming about for the longest time, a piece of equipment so that they can cut out any references like to the today being Monday.
Ah.
I guess so when they hear this show in Detroit that they will cut out any references to Monday or the date or anything like that.
Yeah, because there's a rule in broadcasting. If you, you know, if you're broadcasting something on Tuesday that was set on Monday and somebody hears that, like worms are going to start to come out of your eyes.
It'll,
so they have to chop that up.
It's true. So that's happening on September 8th. We're very glad about that, and I'm sure we'll get calls today from Detroit, and we'll tell them that piece of good news.
Yeah.
We do have a piece of not-so-good news. After a weekend of all kinds of conferencing with the various Jewish CBS lawyers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is what it says on their business cards, incidentally.
Right.
The Jewish CBS lawyers.
Very good.
I'm here to tell you that the ABC board has won this round.
Okay.
I don't know what the ABC board has against us, and we've checked into every possibility. Even if we had the Las Vegas-style show under the heading of a private party.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're having it in an establishment that has a liquor license,
right?
The ABC board has jurisdiction.
Mm. So that's the name of that tune.
Wow.
But you know what the real good news is?
What?
This is an area with lots of different venues and lots of more opportunities to do our show. So we're not going away. It's not like these shows are going
to
end.
No, we're simply going to have to move them out of the state of Virginia,
right,
over the state line into D.C., and over the state line into Maryland, and if we have to, over two state lines into Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I'm not going to give up the fight against the ABC board. I really don't see what guys whose job it is to make sure that kids with underage fake IDs are getting into bars.
Mm-hmm.
That's their job. I don't see how their job goes into the area of censorship as far as what's done in a bar. But I'll tell you that we heard crazy stuff that the ABC board has done to people. For instance, have you've heard the song by Billy Idol, Money Money, right? And I know you've been in a club before, and you've heard there's one section in the middle of the song when they go, here she come now, say Money Money, and everybody in the club yells, get laid, get effed.
Right, it's kind of a standard little jokey, you know, disco thing.
When we were researching this, do you know we found an instance where the ABC board was in a bar where they were playing that record, and all the people on the dance floor at that point said, get laid, get effed.
Right.
The ABC board shut the bar down for 5 days.
Yeah, they can do it at the drop of a hat for any reason. You'll find this unusual, but I was speaking with a close personal friend of mine who went to a bar this weekend. And
really? You weren't looking in the mirror, were you?
Oh, maybe I was.
Oh.
And they can really, they have total authority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and a lot of leeway and a lot of subjectivity. I mean, they really can do whatever they want. It's a tremendously powerful board.
I don't see what the ABC board, how legally, how they have anything to say about something that's done on a stage, free speech and all that other jazz.
That's right.
But as they do, and we were told by the lawyers as late as this morning, the last word I heard was, you guys can go in there and you can do the show. The guy who runs the bar is cool with that. He's fine with getting fined or anything that ABC might want to do to him.
Mm-hmm.
The only risk that we would run is people that get involved in the show, not only would they be potentially brought into court and fined, They could be arrested and taken away in handcuffs.
We can't do that.
No.
I mean, you know, you don't do that, you know, under the guise of a show. Not, you know, not to say that we wouldn't be able to test the boundaries, but you can't do that to, you know, people that are going to come out and see our show.
That there's too much there. I mean,
yeah.
I mean
that's not just, I mean, that's everything. That's everything.
You're talking about testing the boundaries, but we would be testing the boundaries not with you and I
right.
as the sacrificial lambs, but as the people that listen to our show and would come out to see us do an appearance.
Right.
They're the people who would be hauled away with fines of up to $5,000. How ridiculous is that?
And that's the power they wield, and that's where it is, and they have their sights on us, and so be it. That's what we have to deal with.
So we have to cancel the Las Vegas-style show that we had planned for this Thursday night, Masquerades in Vienna, Virginia. Our apologies to the staff there. They were ready for a big show, and of course our apologies to all you guys that were going to come out. You know, we do these shows every month. Sometimes we do one or two of them. We're going to make it up next month. We'll do two shows next month.
Good.
There's a way around this. And
right.
if you MFers at the ABC board are listening now, I swear to God, every day on this show, we're devoting one segment to what's wrong with the ABC board.
Absolutely.
One segment to finding out everything we can about the ABC board. And if we do one thing on this show, we're going to bring the ABC board down.
Yeah.
No, really.
Good.
Hold on. And this is for you. You hear what you made me do? You hear that? That's worked up because of you, the ABC board.
That's right. We're going to call Michael Moore.
You sons of bitches.
Hey, there you go. We're going to call Michael Moore. He'll help.
Oh, what bastards they are.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Tough.
And I don't know why, you know, we've got the big bullseye on our back.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not unusual. We're used to that.
But we do. And they will win this battle.
Mm-hmm.
But we will win the war.
Good.
And our staff, our crack staff, many of them on crack right now,
yes.
they are ready to take any and all ABC stories that you might have.
Absolutely, because it does seem that a lot of people that are in the food and beverage business in the state of Virginia have a little tale about what's going on, and we're curious, you know? We're very, very curious. Of course, just remember one thing, no names, because we do have a target on our back.
On the radio, at least,
right.
No names.
No names. We won't take any names.
You want to call Charlie on the business line or talk to Rockhead when we're doing something else?
Right.
Give us all the names you want. We want all the dirt we can possibly get on the ABC board. We're going to devote a segment on the show.
Right.
Every single friggin' day to the ABC board and the hypocrisy that goes in to this Nazi-like group.
Okay.
I'm very serious about it.
I know you are. I'm glad.
You know, we go out and we do a show. Well, the worst thing that happens is something that an intern did for the President of the United States.
Absolutely.
And we have said on many occasions we're willing to compromise with the ABC board.
We're willing to work around that, but when they start targeting our listeners and people that come out, fans of the show that come out just to have a good time, we're not having anything to do with that.
Oh, Christ. It's a mess. So, sorry about that. No show. We'll jump on the ABC board. You know us. We're like elephants. We never forget.
Hear, hear.
And we will reschedule this show. You know, the good thing is it's going to be in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. You go approximately 6 miles.
Yeah.
And you're in the state of Maryland.
Rango.
Where the Virginia ABC Board has absolutely no jurisdiction.
That's right.
And that's the plan now.
Fantastic.
So, sorry about that, Virginia. If you're upset about that, Virginia, you should call the ABC Board yourself to tell them that you don't appreciate the hypocrisy. I would give you the phone number, except, you know, of course, I don't have it. I think it's probably 1-800-EAT-ME, 1-800-WE-BLOW, or 1-800-TEENY-WEENY.
You have a variety.
Or 1-800-DROPPED-ON-HEAD-BY-MOTHER, 1-800-NOT-BREASTFED as an infant, 1-800-LATENT-HOMOSEXUAL-TENDENCIES, 1-800-NEVER-BEEN-LAID.
Not 1-800-KINGS are the best people everywhere.
Absolutely not.
No way.
So we'll get that number. We'll give it to you. And again, you know, we're sorry, but we can't put you guys in that position.
Okay.
I mean, we could.
Yeah.
And we thought about it, really. Really, we gave it some serious thought.
Yeah, but no, didn't want to do that.
But we decided that just wouldn't be right.
That was Buzz. That you would call that the nice thing to do.
It is the nice thing to do. And, you know, that's the approach we're taking on
that. We do the nice thing once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Let's take an ABC story and then on with the show. Then I got some other interesting crap to tell you about before we get into today's show.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yes, this is Ben.
Yes, hello, Ben.
Yeah, my roommate worked at this place in Vienna. I don't know if I can say the radio station. I mean, the actual...
No, don't say the name of the place.
Yeah, okay. I mean, just speak in generalities and tell your story.
Yeah, her name's...
No, her name would not be a generality.
Hey, Ben?
All right.
Ben? Ben?
Yeah.
Be gentle.
All right.
Gentle Ben.
Anyway.
Ben, the two of us need look no more. Song about rats. So anyway,
it's Friday night. Bartenders are busy. It's crowded in this place. And normally they're supposed to come up and have some kind of little narc or whatever come up and ask for a beer, and you're supposed to check their ID at that time.
Oh, you mean the ABC? And this is what the ABC board should be doing. They shouldn't be worried that we're going to use profanity on stage.
With a bunch of people that have their IDs checked and are 21 years old.
They shouldn't worry that we're going to cuss on stage doing a comedy show.
Right.
They should worry about kids sneaking into the bar and using fake IDs. We're all for that.
Absolutely.
But this is what they did. They had the kid bring in an empty beer bottle.
All right, this would not be a great example of the type of ABC story that we were looking for.
That's right. Now, Ben,
don't you think that would be a setup?
It's like what I do think, Ben, is I think that you probably have a valid concern there, but I'll tell you one thing. I would not describe you as the greatest storyteller that the world has ever
seen. We will not be putting you on the stand.
That's right.
Thank you, though, Ben.
Thank you so much for your support, Ben.
Thank you.
Goodbye. That was Ben.
Hello, Donna's Mike Show.
Hi, I went to the Dukes of Hazzard Museum yesterday.
Oh, you're a lucky man.
I know.
You know how to make the most out of a weekend, sir.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah?
Is it great?
Is there admission or is it free?
Nah, it's free. It's actually in some old garage.
That's right. Cooter's garage.
Right, remember we tried to call that guy on the show last week.
Former Congressman Cooter.
Old Cooter, buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. They had two General Lees there, and he sat out and gave people autographs.
John, I know that you're not as much of an aficionado of the Dukes of Hazzard as I. Do you know what the two General Lees are? That would be the vehicle.
The orange cars?
Yes, the General Lee.
Right.
I really wanted one when I was growing up.
Thank you, my friend.
Sure. General Lee!
Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there. I thought you guys might be interested in knowing the alcohol beverage control information.
Knowing what, sir?
The alcohol beverage control phone number?
We're going to get the right phone numbers from our sources.
We'll get it. We'll announce it, I promise. Thank you, though.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
So this guy can't give his ex-girlfriend's number out on the air.
Or 1-800-ASK-FOR-ASS. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was wondering about Mike's hero is Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa, let me do it. I'm doing it. But we both had a good weekend. We both had Don is not as happy with the weekend as I am. I am very happy with the weekend.
I just told you, it's a good thing you didn't call me.
Right.
On Saturday. Because I would have hung up on your ass. I was so mad on Saturday. Oh. Goddamn Sammy Sosa hits two on Friday and then hits two more on Saturday. That son of a bitch.
Show me the tote board, Ed. There we go. Yeah.
Well, and McGuire hit two yesterday.
Right.
Meaning that the current total is Sammy Sosa.
I hated that incidentally. Did he had to go and jack two. He couldn't stand it, could he? He couldn't stand
Sammy. That's right.
He couldn't stand Sammy having one weekend where he's in the spotlight.
Because McGuire's the man. The current total is Sosa Buddy 51, McGuire Buddy 50, which means if the season ended today,
right,
it would be my house that Dennis Murphy would be coming to.
It would be Breakfast with Dennis.
I am not happy about that.
At the Geronimo Palace, Breakfast with Dennis Murphy, but there is a lot of baseball to play, a lot going on. You know what amazes me for all this? Does anybody, and I know these are great home run hitters, does anybody in the National League pitch around these guys ever?
McGuire got pitched around. He had two base on balls yesterday.
Really?
In the second game against the Mets.
I know what you're saying to me. You're saying that he's the greater home run hitter. That's why, that he was able to jack his two with only two at-bats.
Well, the Cardinals are a slightly better team.
Right.
And the Cardinals are in most of the games that they play, which is why Sosa gets more pitches to hit. But that's all right. That's my cross to bear.
Sosa is farther ahead this year than he was at this time. And
five home runs ahead.
You saw the chart in the paper this morning. He's on pace to actually finish the season at 68 ahead of Mark McGuire.
You're on pace to be fired by the end of today's show.
All right.
What do you think about that, Buzz?
Thanks for the tidbit, Buzz.
I'm not a big fan, generally. Even if McGuire was in the league, I'm not a big fan on the he's on pace to.
Right. Okay. It's baseball, Don. It's a game of inches and anything. I'll try to contain my euphoria a little bit.
Go ahead. Be happy, man.
I just was, when he hit the two dingers and then did it again, it was quite a weekend in baseball. You know what I want to know? I want to know exactly when we started this, because we started this before anybody was
talking
about this.
Like in March, I think we came up with this bet, before the beginning of the baseball season.
Right, and it's great. I mean, when you see it on the front pages now that it's starting to heat up, it's terrific.
I'm just doing a little praying right now.
praying to the McGuire God or the evil God of Sammy, like spraining his ankle.
You know what I'm doing. I'm praying to my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Dear Jesus, Hey, it's me, Donnie.
That's what he calls Jesus. I mean, that's what Jesus calls him. Right?
Hey, Jay. It's D. JC, DG here. How you doing, my man? Great job, incidentally, keeping that killer storm away from all of the populated areas.
Very, very nice.
Nice going, Jay. I know you were behind that.
Would you tell him to send the remnants up the East Coast so we can be over with this drought? Well, I know you're doing your own thing.
Jay, please. This is a personal call.
I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Jay, we know I've lost the Star Wars bet. Come the first show in the year 2000, I will be shaving my head right here on this forum, in this fine stage, in this fine city. Jay, I can't stand to lose two bets in 1 year. Jesus, what I'm asking you now, please, I pray to you, my Savior, break Sammy Sosa's leg.
Oh, now stop that.
I am praying to you, Jesus Christ.
Stop that right now.
That you...
That's cheating.
You stick your leg out tonight.
That is cheating.
And trip Sammy Sosa.
He is cheating.
I am not cheating. I'm praying to my Lord Jesus Christ because that's where you go in times of desperation.
Well, I'm going to a real church after the show. I'm going to the right place to do it.
This is a church, Mike.
This is the temple, Don. It's not a church. It's a shrine.
Jesus... I tell you what. How about... All right, not his leg.
There you go.
Right, just his right arm.
Now, stop it!
Just break his right arm. That's all I ask, Jesus. Jesus, how about... Could you temporarily blind Sammy Sosa?
Stop it.
Is that too much to ask, Jesus?
Stop it.
I've always been there for you, J-Man. I'm always there. And I'd like to point out that unlike my friend Mike O'Mara, I do go to church regularly. And I make big donations, you know that. I always pull out the 20 spot for you, J-Man. I never take change.
Yeah.
And all I'm asking now is that Sammy Sosa be involved in some car crash on his way to the stadium tonight. Nothing life-threatening, mind you.
Right.
Just enough to keep him out of the Cubs lineup.
Okay.
Your friend.
Oh, boy.
Donnie G.
I hate that when that happens. But, you know, I know that he chooses to do what he wants to do. So it doesn't matter. You can ask. It doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah, but it's good if you got the, you know, the extra points going for you.
I will be praying where I normally do, in my car. In my car, driving home, on my evening commute, where occasionally the Lord's name is mentioned.
Oh, and Jesus, one more thing. This has nothing to do with Sosa and McGuire. Jay, it's me again. Would it be asking too much for you to infect all members of the Virginia ABC board with an awful social disease? I'm not praying for the biggie. I'm not praying for Hibby. But how about the painful drip, drip, drip of gonorrhea? How about some street-level DD?
You're giving him way too much negative energy right now.
No, he's with
me. You got to give him one. Listen, when you're talking to him, you got to give him one positive. I don't know what it is, but you got to do one positive where you want something nice to happen. Somebody, I know you hate to do that.
All right, and Jesus, if you could please make our show number one in the ratings again next month.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah, balance it out a little bit.
That would be wonderful. So to recap, a broken leg, a broken arm, or a car wreck for Sammy Sosa.
Temporary blindness.
Temporary blindness. Awful, awful social diseases for all the members of the ABC board, including lots of scratching and itching. Thank you, Jesus.
And later on, I will be in my car offering up the "he didn't mean it" prayer.
Oh, no. I meant it, Jay.
He said, no, you stop that.
I meant it. You know it.
You closed that pipeline.
Because you know I have more of a personal relationship with you than that blowhard Reggie White does.
Your personal relationship with the man upstairs.
I'm constantly talking to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly.
Hey,
say,
man.
Jesus, do you think I can make this light? What, you think I should? Okay, I'll slow down. You got it, Jesus.
So you see you driving in your car, shaking your head. A little frustrated. Gosh, why did he tell me to stop?
You're the man, Jesus. Lots of times I drive around and go, man, I wish some station play a Van Halen song.
And it comes on.
It comes on. I go, hey, thank you, Jesus.
Magic.
My co-pilot. Thank you, Jesus. And one last thing. Those very small God, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just something bad to happen to Ken Stephens. I know I pray for that all the time. But if you're not too busy, that's what I'm wishing for.
After he buys the digital editor.
Yes. Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah,
let Ken spend the $15,000 to buy the digital editor.
Absolutely.
And then have him cut himself shaving or something. A very deep cut. Your humble servant, Donnie.
Donnie.
like to point out, Jesus, are you still there? I'd like to point out, I do make people happy every day. Every day.
Every day.
Every day. Millions of people in their cars.
Of course. There's the positive energy. There we go.
I've been called Godsend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what that means? A you-send.
That's the positive energy.
You know, from your guy.
Try to balance the positive energy with the self-promotion. Come on.
From your papa.
Right.
And thank you, God. And thank you, Jesus. Because there's football on tonight.
There you go.
There's football on Thursday night.
This is pure positive energy right here.
Friday night and
pure,
Saturday night.
Pure positive.
And Jesus, if there would be any way that you could get DirecTV to put the networks back on the dish.
Yeah! Amen. All right.
I know I speak for everybody on the show. Me and Mike, who I know has a healthy belief in God.
Yes.
Rob Spiewak, who has sinned, but I know repents for those sins.
Absolutely.
Buzz Burbank, who frankly doesn't believe you exist.
Not correct, Jesus.
And Jesus, you should check out the email this guy is sending me.
It's pretty nasty stuff.
Oh, my God, Jesus, you'd love seeing it.
Some of God's best work.
Thank you, Jay. I'll check in again later.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
That was a long one.
Here is one of Jesus' citizens.
Yes.
Jesus loves the little children.
Very good.
Here is Homo Joe.
Homo Joe. Hey, how are you?
Hello, Homo Joe.
My initials are JC, too, so, you know, I could be part of him, you know. But I've come to answer one of your prayers.
What is that, Joe?
I figured if you guys really are that stressed out with Dennis, you can flip a coin if whoever loses, and then you have a 50-50 chance to see if he ends up at my house.
No, Joe, appreciate it. But
that's very thoughtful. You know, you are so thoughtful, Joe.
Well, most gays are, Mike.
That's true, absolutely.
But Homo Joe, no, I'm sorry. This is a bet that we started, and, you know, it's got to be paid off.
It really only makes the bet worthwhile if they're, you know, if it's cut and dry, Joe. If there are any escape valves, it's just not going
to
work.
Well, I know I don't like to be an idea guy, but I just figured you were so stressed out, and, you know, I just came to see what I could do.
As usual, you're being totally thoughtful.
As most gays are, Mike.
There you go.
They're generally a very thoughtful race.
Absolutely. Race.
Joe, we will be talking to you later in today's show, because today we will start filling up the Homo Joe Beach House.
Ah, that's what it's called now, the Homo Joe Beach House.
Right, for the big Labor Day holiday in Dewey Beach, Delaware.
I understand it's painted on the side of the house down there, the Homo Joe Beach House.
All I can say is I pity my neighbors. They've been testing all the recipes I'm going to be using down there.
Oh, really? So you're going to have you know where you're going. I know where you're going with this. You're coming up with a cookbook somewhere down the road.
It's already on the webpage right now.
Oh, for good sake. All right.
Anything really exciting and new that you're planning on serving up when everybody gets down there?
Anything
you want to talk about?
Well, I'm going to make some homemade bagels, I think, this time.
Homemade bagels?
How much you want to bet with everything that Joe makes? Mm. Even if it's something that's real sugary, like cupcakes or something, I bet you take a bite and you go, man, this tastes salty.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Yeah, and shocker.
Or lots of garlic. You know, keep the vampires away.
That's right. How about Joe? It's a shocker that the first thing you're going to make is you're going to have a hole in it.
There you go.
You could eat it, or you could have sex with it.
There you go.
All right, Homo, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, talk to you all later.
Goodbye. There is a Homo Joe there.
Homo Joe out.
Right, Homo Joe out. He's way out there.
The secret to these bagels is they're wider than the other ones.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, Don, this is not a fair bet between you and Mike.
Why not?
McGuire gets walked 100 times more than Sosa. They pitch to Sosa. All Sosa's home runs come in the 8th and 9th game.
No, this is my cross
to
bear.
I want to do an impersonation of what you do. Wine.
It's not a wine, Mike.
Yes, it is.
You know what? I accepted the bet. I knew that those were the terms going into the season.
Yes, and let me enlighten you. Who hit more last year? It was Mark McGuire, okay?
But if you look at last year, he had 162 walks. Poor bat. McGuire was blown Sosa away any day of the week.
Listen, appreciate it. Thank you, my friend. I have put in the word to JC.
Right.
No problem.
Right on, Don.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, take it easy, guys.
Thank you.
See ya.
Yes, see ya, friend.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hey, buddy.
You know, there's plenty of people waiting for me to lose that bet.
Oh, the Sosa Army out there. Absolutely, the Sosa Army. And, you know, let's not slight the Dominican community, which I know is squarely behind my side. I might have a big party for all the Dominicans in the Washington area.
All right. Oh, really? All the guys that wash your cars
and
stuff?
Yes, every Dominican American, you know, can come out, and we can have a fantastic big party. I get that big Dominican flag. We'll have, you know, whatever they eat down in the Dominican Republic, and, you know, we'll have a good time.
And maybe I'll have a party for white, red-headed Americans. That's what Mark McGuire is.
I'll just have Hobo Joe's bagels, you know. Don't skip on the butter.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got some dirt on the ABC board for you.
Really? Okay, lay it on us, please.
I used to work for the ABC board about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And they send underage kids into these stores and the bars to bust them for selling to minors.
Again,
well, yeah. Wait, that is, I tell you, we have unearthed a super secret.
I don't think that. Not exactly what we're looking for. You will not be called in our legal action either, sir. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, I got a horror story about the ABC board.
Really? Is it a real one?
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
Okay.
I used to bounce in a bar in Northern Virginia, and our DJ was playing that song, Jay-Z, you know, Can You Get a What What?
Yeah.
And, you know, when they go into some of the foul-mouth parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
They had an ABC rep in there. He went to the manager. They had to close down the bar. They had to get everybody out. And they find the bar, and they also find the DJ company.
See, now that's what I'm talking about.
It's amazing.
More instances of that the ABC guys are in a bar.
Right.
They play a record by Jay-Z.
Right.
And because of music that's being played and people dancing to it,
mm-hmm.
they find the bar. That is, doesn't anybody else find that absolutely ridiculous?
Yeah.
I mean, that's censorship. To the nth degree.
Right.
That is,
especially when you're in a place where, you know, you have to be 21, where you're dealing with adults. That's what doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, if you're in a place where they're playing music, where they play music every night, and that's just the way it is, I don't get that. These are areas where it just seems to me they're a little severe.
I was chewing on this.
I'm not happy either. It was not easy trying to get them people out.
All weekend, I'm chewing on this. I'm thinking about this because I had calls from Ken and calls from the lawyers and stuff who were researching this. And the more I thought about it, the more pissed I would get, thinking these are like the friggin' thought police.
Right.
Does everybody really know the wide range that the ABC board has?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they to decide what's decent and what's not decent?
And you know, it's funny because you talk about they won the battle and the war and everything, but when you really look at something like this, you're talking about a group that's been set up, legally set up, and that I think really, aren't we talking about legislation that has to be changed in order to, you know, to...
I guess so.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's huge.
This is one of the questions I have for the lawyers. Who gave the ABC board these wide...
Probably the state legislature.
Sweeping powers.
It's all state laws.
Yes, yeah, state laws.
That's the Gestapo.
You know what? You know, that's the thing. These are laws that are on the books. That's amazing.
Hey, Don, Mike, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
F. Ken Stevens.
All right, thank you.
Right.
Right on.
Very nice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, Don and Mike. This is...
No. That was not screened. I'm not taking that call.
Very good.
Okay. That's Lewis the Retard.
Was that Lewis?
That was Lewis the Retard. Wasn't that him?
Yes, no, absolutely.
He was a little more... He was a little louder than he normally is, and I didn't catch it right away.
No, normally it's that real little...
I'm positive.
Hey, Robbie, rewind that tape.
I guarantee it. Don't even need to rewind it.
Just rewind it. Never go against your gut. That's my motto. That sounded like Lewis to me.
Good move.
And I know I have a bet with Mike.
Right.
Another one of our bets.
Oh, is that a real bet?
Yeah, I'm considering it to be a real bet.
What are you supposed to do?
I bet you $100 I'd never let Lewis on this show again.
Oh.
Hey, Potomac, westbound Tuckerman Lane. Tape two?
Okay.
Fun.
Very nice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, Don and Mike. This is...
That's it.
See?
$100 in my pocket.
No! That wasn't screened. I deleted him immediately.
Well, yes. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, it's Greg Coleman.
Let me tell my story. Can I tell my story?
No, I'm sorry. Your days are over, Lewis.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, you know, the Germans had a name for the ABC board. It's called the Gestapo.
Right. I mean, I totally agree with you, man.
You know what?
I'm surprised they just don't take me and Mike and put us in a concentration camp.
Absolutely.
Somewhere. Make us wear the Star of David and all that stuff.
I know. It's horrible.
Hey, another thing. Did you guys catch the Today Show this morning?
A couple minutes.
They were tongue-buffing Reese's doorknob on that show. They were talking about his new show.
They were tongue-buffing his doorknob.
Yeah, they were...
I like that expression. Hey, you're being awfully nice of me. You're not tongue-buffing my doorknob, are you?
Hey, did you read in the newspaper something about that crappy Regis show?
Where they made a big mistake?
That a guy who was on the show answered a question correctly, and Regis said,
you're wrong. And he had the wrong answer. I mean, Regis's researcher was absolutely incorrect.
Right.
Actually, it was the researcher was right. It was Regis who screwed up.
Oh, was it Regis himself?
Yes, it's Regis's fault. The researcher put a lot of background information on the card, and the question was about after
the Great Lakes.
After Lake Superior.
Superior, what's the largest in area, which of the Great Lakes?
And Regis thought it was Lake Michigan, right?
That's what Regis said. If Regis had read the rest of the card, it said Lake Michigan has the most water, but
so
it's
Regis
smaller in area than Lake Huron.
So Regis, being the bad broadcaster, he read half the card, stopped at that point.
Said, no, I'm sorry, you're not a millionaire.
You're wrong, and I'm Regis.
There you go. It took 1 week. 1 week for Regis' first major faux pas.
So now there's all kinds of publicity about that. Now they have to have this poor schmuck back on the show again.
Right. Regis will have to apologize. And, you know, with all the safety valves, too, in that show. Because Regis, you know, they put in the safety valves for Regis where they have to stop tape, like recreate and stuff like that.
Right.
And he still screwed up, and they weren't able to catch it.
That show's awful. That show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
They were kissing his butt big time this morning, though.
All right.
It's a big hit.
Thank you, sir.
That's right. They
is
were.
It really a hit?
12.5 million viewers per show.
Where does that put them in regards to other shows?
Number one. Last Thursday night, ABC won the 8:30 time slot for the first time in like 11 years.
God. Oh, no. That's awful.
Maybe
that's
longer.
Awful.
But you know what? I'm going to be tuning into Regis and Kathy Lee this week just to watch because you know that he's going to be feeling all of it.
Sure.
He'll be feeling
hi, how are you? Hello, Kathy Lee. Hi, Christmas special.
It's me.
Number one boy.
Prime time.
Prime time Regis, number one.
Right? Is that your final answer? Your final answer? Would you like to think about that?
This music is killing me. Hello, Don and Mike Show. One more call. We have to do a break. Hello.
Hey, Radio God.
Hi there.
To be a DJ years ago, about 10 years ago, we were playing the Two Live Crew songs. You know, hey, we want some, you know.
Oh, right. And Two Live. Listen, there was all kinds of publicity about Two Live Crew and their songs being so dirty.
Oh, yeah. Well, they wanted to break down on us, and the owner was going to fight it. And after long period through the courts, they finally did drop it. But in the meantime, what they started to do was targeting our bartenders, and they would do like the other guy called in about, you know, they would send in young kids to buy beer. If they would get them, now here in South Carolina, they take the bartender's license if they get caught for that.
Well, listen, I have no qualm with the ABC sending in underage kids to try to buy beer.
No, I mean, that's really what it was.
That's their job.
That's their primary job, to make sure that underage kids aren't drinking.
But they have no jurisdiction as far as deciding what we do on a stage is right or wrong.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
And they got absolutely no... Well, I mean, obviously, they've got the law behind them, but...
They do, indeed.
It's a dumbass law that they can take our listeners and arrest them and take them away in cop cars for coming up on stage and participating. It's outrageous, man.
It sounds like all stuff that's on the books, too.
Really? It's nutty. Well, where were you?
We are here in Greenville. Thanks.
We are researching it. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, it's a pisser.
I know. It's a kick in the pants. It really
sure is. Well, F them. We'll find out more about them. Oh, I do have a special treat for you right after this commercial set. Something that I know will put you in a much better mood.
Very, very good.
But I will keep it as a surprise.
Oh, really?
Until after these commercials and the toe-tapping touch tones.
It's a Dominican flag.
Caller number 100. We got a prize package selected especially for you. Be the first winner of a brand new week. Phone number is 1-877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller now, and we'll be right back.
This is the Dawn.
Let's get our winner.
I'll tell you something about the real world.
They're going to India, don't you know?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Yaya.
Oh.
What?
Sorry?
Yeah, hello.
Sam.
Yeah, I was calling for the Car 100.
Jin Jin.
Right. Yes, you win, my friend.
All right.
What's your name, please?
Eric Terhar.
Eric, where are you from?
Reston, Virginia.
Eric, you won 2 movie passes plus a prize pack from the movie The Iron Giant.
Okay.
Remember, Stossel loved this movie.
Eric, are you eating anything?
I'm sorry?
Are you eating anything right now?
No.
Are you chewing on a lozenge?
No.
Was your retainer coming out?
Working on my computer.
Do you generate an abnormal amount of saliva when you speak?
Oh, is that right?
No, I didn't say it. I was just asking if you do.
No, I don't.
Your Iron Giant movie tickets courtesy of AMC Theaters, and we thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on, please, Eric, buddy. Okay, so I'm watching The Real World, and I never watch The Real World.
Right.
I really don't.
I love The Real World.
But I turned it on for a couple of minutes. Explain to me why you want to watch 6 punk asses who get to live in a fabulous house in Hawaii.
Beautiful Hawaiian mansion.
With
everything. I mean, they got a pool table in that place. They got pools out back.
Yep.
The girls, they all walk around without tops on.
Right, beautiful ladies.
The whole time.
Not beautiful. They're okay looking.
Wasn't the whole purpose of the real world?
Right.
To find real people.
Right.
And to live with real people.
Right.
To show what the real life is like.
Yeah, well, they put, what they do is they take all these singles and they just throw them into a house together and they you know how they audition to be on the real world, but these are, it does fall under the guise of reality based on the fact that they're really living in the house.
Now, see, I don't buy it because it's not reality. They're living a dream. They get to go to Hawaii. Have you seen the goddamn house that they live in Hawaii?
I love that house. I wish I could live in that house. It's that pretty.
So do I. That's why I'm mad. I'm sitting there watching some punk who can't get his thumb out of his ass.
Right, and they get on all sorts of crazy circumstances, and they get in all sorts of altercations, and they have lots of problems, even though they're in that Shangri-La.
It all seems forced. I mean, every time I see it, the fights seem forced.
You see the one where they have their little special room that they go into where they confess?
Yeah.
Where they sit there and like, he was a bad person.
But I saw one of these kids who looks like he should be in NSYNC.
Right.
You know, sitting going, well, I've just never been able to trust anybody in a relationship. And
the guy that's going out with the blonde girl.
Right.
Yeah, and they went out to dinner, and he took her out to dinner, and they had a nice little dinner.
And he pays for it. And she's like,
very exciting.
You don't have to pay. And he says, well, it's our first date together. But meanwhile, they sleep in the same bed together.
And she starts crying because he's paying for it. That's how moved she is in touch that he's paying for it. And then there's the gay guy who is having a problem with that same guy because he's a little homophobic, and the gay guy is very sensitive about all the things that are going in the house. And then they are going now on their big vacation to India.
Why do they need a vacation? These punks are living in a house that anyone would die to live in Hawaii. I'm watching it, the more mad I'm getting when I was watching it.
I think the reason is, and I'm sorry that it's upsetting you so much, but I'll tell you.
Doesn't it upset you too?
No, you know, you're actually making me laugh about it because they're going on a vacation because they're able to do it because the producers are providing them with, this is a free trip for
them.
The
producers provided them with a free trip.
Yeah,
to live in this house in Hawaii.
But they're taking a break from their house.
Oh, they got to take a break from their house in Hawaii?
Yes, they do, so they can go on this wonderful vacation.
That's not the real world, man.
So they can go to India. So they can go. And you know
what the real world is? The real world is what I had this weekend.
Right.
Where, again, my wife leaves to go to the beach with her friends because she says there's too much going on. She's got to take all of her girlfriends and go to the beach.
Right.
She leaves me at home with the son and the animals, which I don't mind.
Right.
But as soon as she leaves, the dogs know it's time for us to crap in the house. And, you know, I swear to God, the dogs are fantastic.
Right.
But as soon as mommy leaves, they know, hey, you know what? Hey, the caretaker is gone. We can crap anywhere we want. I spent all weekend picking up big piles of dog doo in my house just because mommy wasn't there.
Haven't they learned yet? I mean, haven't you trained them to poop outside yet?
I'm telling you, they know how to do it outside. It is something they know.
They choose because they get mad at Frida because she's leaving.
They see her leaving. Mm-hmm. They know it's just me. Mm-hmm. They know that they're not going to be able to be taken on their WALK.
Right.
Because all I do is open the door and say, go outside.
Do you sense that the dogs dislike you?
No, the dogs love me.
See, I sense that one of my dogs, the poodle, Hamilton, I sense that he has a problem with me based on the fact that these shoes you see upon my feet right now are my only shoes, my only dress shoes that I own now that have not been chewed or damaged in some way. He is actually...
That's just a puppy, though, being a puppy chewing your shoes.
I think it's more sinister than that. I actually feel as though... I looked at him today, and I walked over, and I like to do this to Oscar, where I'll walk over, and I'll take my foot, and I'll just sort of start scratching his belly, and then he rolls over, and he's like, eh. And it's great, because it's kind of no stress for me.
That is a total lazy way of giving your dog some love.
It is. So I tried it with Hamilton.
Just with your foot.
So I tried it with Hamilton today, and Hamilton goes into this... He sits up. And then it becomes this thing where, you know, it's gone from, or I'm going to give him a little scratch with my foot on his tummy to this, I'm trying to push him back down to the floor so I can scratch him. And then I finally, okay, forget it. And I pull away. And then he slowly goes back down into his full lying down position. And I look over and I see his little, you know, he's all black. And I see his totally, you know, shiny eye out of this black coat. And he looks at me and he goes, and I felt
this hatred from him. I felt like he really didn't like me.
No, there's no hatred for me and my dogs. My dogs.
I do a good job with that foot. You may call it the lazy man's way. I do some seriously good scratching on the dog's belly with that foot.
No,
I am skilled.
That is your way.
With my feet, Don.
That
really
is your
do.
Way of saving yourself the time and trouble of actually squatting down.
I've got a bad back.
Pet the dog.
Okay. Got a bad back. Right. Back. We got a bad back. You know, and these.
You got a bad back from carting around all those excuses.
I don't want these dove-like hands to get dog smell on them.
Okay.
But the feet. You know, what the heck? I can do it with the feet. But your dog shouldn't be crapping in the house.
They do it whenever she leaves. And I mean, she got in the car. And how they know that she was not just going to the store, I don't know. She got in the car. She left at 5 o'clock on Saturday. I swear to God, I was picking up my first pile of dew at 6 on Saturday night.
Do you discipline them when they do that?
No.
Speaking of the issue before, is there regular... Is the schedule maintained to the letter of the law when your wife leaves?
Yes.
It is.
As a matter of fact, I leave them outside even more.
Okay.
Like, I get up in the morning and I make them go out. I say, go out and, you know, they're so pampered that you have to actually stand out there and go, you want to go potty? Go potty now. And you have to stand there and wait till the dog takes a BM. Then you have to act like it's the greatest thing the dog's ever done. You go, oh, yes, that's my boy.
So you actually do that?
Yeah.
Well,
good.
That's terrific. Then you're doing more than I do.
I mean, do all the maintenance. What I don't know is I don't know how they know when she gets in the car that she's not going to be back for a day.
Right.
Because as soon as she gets out of the car, I smell it. And I smell it. I'm all the way across the house and I know right away. One of the dogs is taking a crap in the living room.
Pile of Tootsie Rolls or a Frosty?
More of a Frosty.
Oh.
When it's from Colonel Clink. When it's from the German Shepherd.
Man, that's
dog,
a gag reflex right there.
Max, the little dog, he just leaves these little things and they harden after a while.
Like deer, you know?
Yeah. And then no problem to pick those up.
Yeah, it's the Frosty that I can't handle. I cannot handle. I mean, I go into the hyper gag reflex.
So do I. I felt a little and I taste a little of. In the back of my throat.
Oh, you tasted your own vomit. That's good. Don't be tasting anything else.
No, I didn't taste that.
This dog's not well. Not well at all. Get this dog to a hospital.
I did do one thing that was bad, though. There's some down in the basement. I just left down there.
Because it's kind of a protest, you know, for your wife abandoning you this weekend.
No, not a protest. Just I had the gag reflex.
Really?
I'll just leave it down there. She'll ask me about it, and I'll say, oh, I didn't know the dog's crapped in the basement.
Is that a Clink gift? That you
yes,
left in the basement?
Absolutely. Oh, you can tell which is from the big dog and which is from the little dog.
Boy, the biggest dog and the worst consistency. That's a horrible, horrible situation.
But listen, my point in all this is that's the real world. Cleaning up dog diarrhea is the real world.
They had one of the girls vomiting because she drank too much. They had that on the real world. That's the one where the producers had to intervene because she was drinking too much on the show. Producers actually intervened, said, you need to get some help. And there's one shot. I just saw like a promo of that where she's like, a friend is standing next to her and she's right over the bowl. You see that one where she's going,
I hear she's better now.
Why do they get to go to Hawaii? That's the only thing that pisses me off. I mean, really, put these real people in a real situation.
Well, they've had them in Seattle. They've had them in a firehouse in Boston. They've been in various different things.
I don't mind that. And frankly, I thought that was a little pampered also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Hawaii?
I loved the firehouse in Boston. I would have lived in that house with a real fire pole in it.
Isn't the point that people still have conflicts even in paradise? Wouldn't that be why they...
No, there are no conflicts in paradise. Buzz, tell me what's the stress there? They say to you, Buzz, mm-hmm. Here's the deal.
I tell you exactly what the stress is. The stress is people in that house, like five, six people, and the stress is the interpersonal relationships.
Close quarters.
The real interpersonal relationships where they butt heads because they don't like one another. They're all strangers that come to this
crap. Come on, the people in the real world, they play it up because they know that's what they have to do to be on that show.
Mm-hmm.
They have to argue with each other. They make up stuff to argue with each other about. Christ, you send me to Hawaii, I swear to God. You send me there with Charles Manson.
Did you ever have a roommate?
Ted Bundy.
Did you ever have a roommate that you didn't pick yourself, that you were just put with?
Yes.
Did you ever have that?
The Terry O'Brien person.
Okay, so this was, and did you get along with him okay?
Not really.
Well, see, that's the thing. When you get somebody who's put into a living situation with you.
But if we lived in Hawaii, not in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, if we lived in Hawaii together, I guarantee the crap he did would not have annoyed me, and the crap that I did would not have annoyed him.
I had a roommate, and we were at Marist College. He had a little roommate. His name was Mike. He was a bodybuilder, and you know, shocker, I used to like to stay out late and sleep in a bit in my college days.
Really?
I used to like to do that. He would wake up in college, you know, that's primary in your lifespan, college age people, anywhere from 18 years old to 22 years old. That is where you get your most sleep in your lifetime. Am I right about that?
True.
That's when you actually get the most sleep. And he would wake up at 6:30. We had bunk beds. That's the way the dorm rooms were set up, where I was up on top and he was on the bottom. He'd wake up Monday through Friday at 6:30 with his barbells, and I would be awakened to this every morning. As he's staring at his muscle, just admiringly loving his muscle creation. And I would open my eyes and I'd be like,
Mike, what are you doing?
She said, what time did you go to sleep?
I went to sleep at 11 o'clock.
He said, that's 8 hours. You've had enough. Get up.
Yeah.
And I that's the type of thing that happens on the real world where these people get into these social situations.
No, the other side of the real world is, you're there dodging the draft at this cushy college that your parents sent you to. You know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing while you're out of that? I was working, baby.
You've told me, and you like to remind me, School of Hard Knocks.
I was working.
The real world that you were in right now when I was away wearing my short pants at my foo-foo Ivy League. I wish it was Ivy League.
With your sweater tied around your neck.
Yeah, that was me, man. That was me in my raccoon coat and my megaphone.
But listen, the real world is not being sent to live in a dream house in Hawaii. That's not real world.
I tell you, I'm amazed at how difficult it is for those poor kids because they have so many problems to deal with. They really do.
I would kill for those problems. I really would. I watched it the other day. The biggest problem is the kid can't make his long-distance phone call.
Yes.
You know, they're sitting at this console that looks like something out of the goddamn Starship Enterprise where they've got fax machine, high-resolution TV,
right.
Computer, telephone.
Mm-hmm.
He can't make his long-distance call. That's what the whole episode's based on.
Highly stressful for a young person.
Oh, God.
Not to be able to complete that. We ought to do our own version of the real world.
This is the real world. Look at these crappy surroundings we're in.
Yeah, you're right about that. Don't make me look at this place.
This is the real world. Oh, please. It's a bunch of crap. Really.
It's crap.
These people get paid, and I'm talking more than $50,000.
Yeah, they have to get paid because they're doing nothing except wandering around and, you know, pursuing their hobby.
Oh, you mean they get paid for living in Hawaii and seeing topless girls?
Deservedly so.
Will you stop it?
Every nickel those kids.
Would you stop it? You don't think that? You're just trying to get me going.
I will tell you the one truism is that I do enjoy the show. The best real worlds are when they do it on the weekend sometimes, and they'll run like 8 half-hours back.
That's what I watched yesterday.
And you can get brought up to speed with the whole thing.
That's what I got so mad. Don't you get the feeling that you're watching something? I mean, and I didn't know that they were being paid.
Right.
Even pisses me off even more.
I will tell you, I don't like the kid you were talking about, the kid from NSYNC. I don't like that kid. I think he's a little brat. I really do think he's a brat.
I don't like it. If it's really real, you get real people. You don't get tell me this.
Right.
Where's the fat guy on the real world? Where's the pig?
Well, no, I'm kidding.
Where's the pig girl?
You introduce one thing into that show, it would probably make it a little more real for you.
What's that?
Guns. You know, then you'd have a real show. Can you imagine that? Then you'd have to probably put it on HBO, you know, because you have a few shoot 'em up.
I have a question, Mike. You watched a lot of it yesterday?
No, not yesterday, but I've watched it many times.
10 minutes yesterday, and if it's true they get paid $50,000 a year to do this, why were they all busting their butts to get 100 people to come to some sort of poetry reading or something so they could all split $700? Because maybe they don't get paid till the end of the show. I don't know.
This is the first I've heard of it that they do get paid. I didn't think they did. I certainly think they deserve it.
Oh, shut up. But really, hold on. Just hear me out for a second. Don't you find it offensive to your sensibility that you're watching a show that's supposed to be based on the real world when you know that these are people who have auditioned to be in the real world,
mm-hmm.
and they know at all times that the camera is on, mm-hmm. and they know what's expected. They know that guys like you want to see them have their fights.
Oh, I agree. You talk to the issue, actually, of whether or not this is all legit stuff, and I think a lot of things are tweaked up because their cameras are...
And they're in freaking Hawaii!
Nobody behaves the same with a camera around. That's the element that exists there, but they get to a point where they get used to the cameras.
And many of them are aspiring actors and actresses, so they hope that whatever histrionics or dramatics they demonstrate on the show will help get them an acting gig later on.
You know what? I made a joke about introducing guns into it, but what you introduce is you introduce some really older people. Like you introduce people that are maybe 55 or 60, divorced and out on their own. And or you
you know, and tremendously obese people, then I think you'd be happier.
Hi, this is Surf.
You'd be happier with the real world if they introduced people like that.
It's just, it's all fake, man.
Well, put them in Crapchester. Let them live a month in Rochester, New York, and that's more real.
Well, or get Dennis Murphy an airline ticket out to Hawaii.
Dennis would be perfect on the real world.
He'd be great. Can you imagine,
except
really?
He's too real
for the real world. Yeah, you're right. Now, that, I agree with you. They control it. They select these people. You know, they have to have a certain level of prettiness. But can you imagine that? And you bring them in, like, mid-season after they all can collectively react to Dennis. You say, all right, kids, here's your new housemate. And Dennis comes waddling up the stairs.
Hi.
Big smelly suitcase.
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello there. Hello, Ken.
Yes, sir. What's happening?
Okay, Ken, you got to pick it up, my friend.
I'm here.
Yes, we're ready to believe you, Ken, but you have to think a little quicker and talk a little faster.
No, they need to make a Real World Part 2 and do the filming after they leave Hawaii, when they go back to the real world then, and then let's see what happens on TV.
Right. Thank you, sir. Hello. Glad we waited for that call. Hello, Paul.
Baldies.
Hey, Baldies.
What's happening?
Hey.
Yeah, they don't get paid anything, man. I played soccer with this guy. Went to school with a guy who was on the real world in London.
They
don't get paid anything.
Was it Puck?
No, Puck.
The greatest villain in the history of the real world was Puck.
This guy
Puck.
He wrote a play. That's how he got on the show. He wrote a one-man play about, like, his family or whatever. They don't get paid anything.
I can't believe you people all get sucked in. These are the same people that will complain when World's Wildest Police Stunts are staged.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same people who go, I won't watch that show anymore because it's staged.
Well, I don't think they're making any, they're really not making any false claims here. What they're doing is they're actually just throwing the cameras in there, and you know that people are tweaking it up for the cameras. You know that they're playing up to the cameras, and you know that they're aware that this is kind of a show.
Don't want them to be in Hawaii.
That's the problem,
That's
isn't
all.
It? You want them to be in real situations.
Right.
You'd like them to be in Flint.
Yes,
that's where they could go.
Don't you think that's more real than Hawaii?
We totally agree. I say put them in Flint. You put them in little rat holes.
You put them in Waldorf, Maryland.
Yes, put them in Waldorf.
Try living off Route 5 for a week.
Absolutely.
Hello, Jennifer. Oh, here's Jennifer who says she tried out for the real world.
A lot of people around this area did, huh?
Hi.
Oh, that's sick. That's sick that you went to audition for that. You had the whole concept pisses me off.
This is probably somebody who missed it by, you know, this is a real super lady right here.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, thanks.
He's stopping, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
I made it to round 3.
Do you have any tattoos or piercings?
No, I'm just a normal
There's your
person.
Problem.
Mm-hmm. I work in Congress.
You gotta be a little grungy to go in the real world.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Although Maya seems like she's pretty normal, the blonde girl in Hawaii.
Yeah, but she is pretty, pretty loose. Really, how long does she know that guy before she's, like, sharing the bed with him every single night?
And that one girl who's flat as a board, she loves taking her shirt off.
Absolutely. That's the lady that's got the piercing?
Yeah. Laying down by the beach with her top off.
Mm-hmm.
And the other girl, the girl that was going out with the NSYNC guy?
Right.
Did you hear her? She's been interviewed. She said, I would do that except, the twins. You know, she's talking about her big boobs.
Right, and the nanas, she calls them.
Yeah, her big knockers, her nanas.
So what's the other one, too? Is it Road Rules? That's the other one.
Yeah.
Would they wander around the country playing different games? Very, very exciting.
Well, even that's a better concept. You know, I'm sorry. I can even get past the part that they audition for this, that they act fake on the show.
I know the main problem you have.
Hawaii!
I actually didn't try out for Hawaii. I didn't want to go down there. So I tried out.
And why wouldn't you want to go to Hawaii?
I don't know. I just never had an interest in going there.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're auditioning for the real world, that means you're aware of what the commitment is. What is it, a six-month commitment?
Yes.
And it's a total 6 months where you have to, you know, uproot your life and go wherever they want you to go. But Hawaii was someplace you didn't want to go?
No, I was trying to go to Boston.
The firehouse one?
Yes. And then I actually saw the house, and I didn't really care for it.
What do you have to do when you audition for the real world? What is the problem?
I'll tell you what you have to do, Mike. You got to do this. You know what you got to do.
You're hired.
You got to go to Mr. MTV, and you got to,
men and women.
Glug, glug, glug.
Right.
No, I had to send in a videotape, and then they screen them. I guess they get several thousand of those. And then you do a phone interview, and then you do a video conference.
It's all so fake, though, man. That's all these are so fake.
Do you think we could send one in with, like, our wives and kids and just sit there, with the whole family? Hi, we'd all like to be in the next house in the real world.
All right, hello, Don and Mike. It's obvious I'm on the minority here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm the only guy that's offended by the fact that it's fake and they're living in Hawaii.
A lot of people I'd like to see in the... Tim McWilliams, I'd like to see in the real world.
Yeah. Hello? Oh, I got something about Tim McWilliams. That's part of my surprise for you.
Oh, really?
Yes. Let's take one more call on this. Hello?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Hey, we're doing great.
Just had a little funny thing. Last Friday night, I work at a nightclub down in D.C., Polyesters. We had a guy, Ruthie from the real world, the Asian girl that got sick.
The one that was drinking a lot, right?
Right, the alcoholic. Mm. She tried to come in with a couple of her friends the other night.
Well, she wanted a drink?
Yeah, and we basically said no because not so much her, but her friends were underage. But she was, looked like she'd put on a few pounds since that.
Was she, did she make a scene or anything?
A little bit, but not much. Her friends were more like, well, come on, it's Ruthie from the real world. And we're like, so?
Christ.
Thank you, my friend.
No problem. Man.
Thank you.
You got to get her some more help.
All right, let's take one more guy. Here's a guy in Stockton, California, who says he watched the last episode being taped in Hawaii.
Oh, good. Huh?
Hello, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Good. Hey, yeah, I was down there vacationing in the middle of May, and I was just walking around and went into the Locomotion store. And they were starting, they were filming the last episode, which is like a thank you episode. They did some plays and some poetry, and a couple of the guys did like men on films. And Ruthie stuck around. They kept her around. And
Ruthie did. Wow. Ruthie did a one-act play where it was just her and a bottle of vodka.
Right. I get to watch all these girls in person, and all the characters, and it was quite a scene. They,
The characters.
You're all being fooled by this, man.
It's a real world theme park, you know, where they have characterizations of all the characters that have been on.
I can't believe
you're
all being sucked into this.
It seemed to be fake. They didn't do a lot of takes. It was pretty much live.
They don't do takes, really. I mean, they just, you know, they follow them around with the camera. It's all ad-libbed.
Yeah.
None of it's pretend.
It was pretty fun, though, to watch it. I'm coming back to the Sacramento area, and I'm getting to see it all, you know, unfold. And I guess
I don't know why you're happy watching other people living a life that I wish I had.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's,
and the house they have.
Yeah, the house pisses me off, man.
See, you're mad. You're jealous of the people in the real world.
Yes, I am, Mike.
You're jealous of them because they live in this wonderful house.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm beginning to realize what this is. You're jealous of them because they live in that beautiful house. They're in a... you love that house. It's a very nice house.
Beautiful
it's
house.
It's in that modern motif that I know you love.
Seen the pool table they got in that house?
You love Hawaii. I know you love Hawaii. You told me you like that kind of climate out there. It's fantastic. And they're on television.
And
right.
And Colin's pushing the twins out of bed. What makes sense there? The twins. That's what she calls.
They're her brand.
Oh, my God.
Sweetheart.
If you line those people up, I'd smack each of them. I swear to God, I would. I'd roll up a newspaper, and I'd smack them the way that I should smack my dog for crapping in my house.
I'll tell you one thing. I think the show could be vastly improved, really, and I mean this sincerely, by introducing... not real. You know, everybody falls into that kind of MTV demo where if they introduce some people...
But just some ugly people,
ugly
man.
People, mm-hmm. Right. Ugly people would work, you know, from different age groups and just plain ugly.
Yeah.
Like super fat. Like super obese. Like some guy comes in where they have to assist him into the house and he can stay in bed.
They won't do that because the little girls won't watch that. The little girls that watch Carson won't watch that.
You don't think the little girls wouldn't watch if there was a guy, you know, say, where's Walter? Well, Walter's... who's bringing Walter? Is it there? Who's bringing Walter?
Walter's stuck on the toilet again.
get Walter his tongs.
You guys are my radio guy.
And furthermore, put him in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. They're here.
Fat guys in Baltimore.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a real world all watch.
Absolutely. And have them all go out to, the Inner Harbor.
Hey, dear boy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
You guys rock on.
All right, goodbye.
Thank you. This TV show in town. Oh, I didn't mean to raise that about that for so long, but I did happen to watch it this weekend.
What I'd love to see.
So mad.
I'd like you to get your mitts on it for like a month. You know, you just retool it. You do one of those executive TV maneuvers on it, and you just change it, and we make it your real world. Where would it now be, Baltimore, or where would you put them? What type of situation?
Baltimore's a good city. A nice... urban, blue-collar city.
Right.
And furthermore...
And put them under a bridge, right?
Furthermore, you get these people together. You put them not in a beautiful mansion. You put them in a flop house together.
Okay.
And you hide the cameras. And you get six or seven different groups of people.
Right.
And those people never know if they're going to be the group that's on television or not.
Yeah, very good.
That's how you get real world.
That's it.
You know, I'm so tired of the introspective crap where they're sitting out... one of those fruits is sitting out... on the porch with a beautiful sunset, like something out of a goddamn postcard.
Little silhouette shot where he's looking out to sea.
And he's just waving his legs over the edge, and he goes,
I just don't know what I'm going to do. I can't meet a woman that I really trust. Oh,
I swear to God, if I had a gun, I'd shoot. I really would. I'm watching that. I'm thinking, you little prick.
They're in Hawaii.
In Hawaii, dangling his feet off the edge with a beautiful sunset. If only I could really find a woman who would love me for me. You know he's saying that because he's on TV.
Loving life.
Please.
Probably faking it, yeah. Probably just digging every minute of it. There are times, downtimes, I think, where they don't bring the cameras along, where they can go off and do whatever the heck they want.
That's what I
want
to see. I want to see, although I hated the movie, I want to see a little Blair Witch Project in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to see a little of that action.
Introduce one guy into the house that's like a chronic kleptomaniac, where one of these days, everything is going to be taken. Everybody's personal possessions will be taken, and they don't know which guy it is. And, you know, that add a little element of mystery. There are a million ways you could take that show, retool it, and make it fun. Right?
Put a farter in that house.
A chronic farter.
A chronic flatulence.
But you don't tell him. He's forbidden to admit to doing it. And he has to do it. He has to do it as secretly as he can. Like when they're all in around the breakfast island together, he has to say, it's not me. I didn't do that.
And put a real perv in that house. When those girls are walking around with nothing on, I want to see a guy come around the corner and pull his thing out and go, hey, baby, what do you think about this?
But you can't do that legally, really. Well, I guess you could put the kleptomaniac in there legally.
Sure.
You know? You probably couldn't do that if you knew.
It's cable TV.
But you're like the obese guy.
Anything goes on cable.
Walter, what's that? Walter's having his morning BM. Run for your life. I see him all scramble out of the house.
Okay, time out. A break. And when we come back, I will get to this to the special treat that I had for you before we got talking about it. The real world. More coming right up.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show. Sports 1140 KACK, your home of the Kings. This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I am the truth. We take Jesus and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
Amen.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
Dual titanic orbs of radio excellence, Don and Mike.
Big week on the show this week.
Yeah.
Thursday, we're finally going to have that crocodile hunter guy on the show.
Steve Irwin, I'm going to really make the rattlesnake mad now. Watch where I put me finger.
Both he and his wife will be coming on the show. That's on Thursday's episode.
And what his wife is an 8-foot king snake.
Plus, we're going to be filling up the beach house, the Homo Joe Labor Day beach house.
Mm-hmm.
To do our own version of the real world, I like to think it's a little realer than the real world, though.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. You know, because we really, well, it's the selection process.
Right, and I think that rather than make the mistake we made last time, where we had five girls
right
with Dennis,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to do Homo Joe, of course,
right,
and then three girls and two boys.
Good. I think that's a very good idea.
For the beach house, and of course, everything that happens at the beach house, recorded and played back live on this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Miller Beach House, courtesy of Miller Lights, the great taste of a true Pilsner beer.
The what?
The great taste of a true Pilsner beer.
It's great.
Plus, on Thursday's episode, Dennis Murphy taking his entire bus of kooky, crazy listeners to the King's Dominion Amusement Park, including many folks that were on Strip Trivia just last week.
And weren't they excited about going down to King's Dominion? Almost all of them seemed like wanted to go on that trip.
Ah, very special person on line number one right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, speak to us.
All right, well, I'll wait for that special person to call back.
Is that part of your surprise?
No, that was not. That was an extra surprise.
I hate waiting for surprises.
Okay, well, here's your surprise.
Very good.
Let me set this up. You know, I did the Redskin show Friday night.
Yes, yes. Right. And you did a fantastic job, and you're to be complimented. A round of applause.
Another great
that
show.
That is from me to you. I thought it was you're back on that show, and it has that kooky, irreverent quality that I enjoy.
Love being on that show, and I'm going to lead into my surprise for you with that.
Okay.
So I'm at the stadium, at Redskin Stadium, Friday night.
I don't have to work an extra day, do I?
No.
Okay, just checking.
That is not the surprise.
Okay, just checking.
before the show, before the Redskins show goes on, the owner of the Redskins, Dan Snyder, this is not the surprise I'm building up with.
Okay.
Dan Snyder, the owner, comes in.
Right.
I meet him. He shocks me, says he's a fan of our show.
You're kidding.
No. Really? God. Says, hey, I'm a fan of your show.
Wow.
He said, well, I am a fan of your money. And he laughs. We had a nice moment together.
Right.
Then I had another meeting that I know will interest you.
Uh-huh.
George Michael came in.
Yes.
And he said hello.
Right.
And he's not really pissed about the things we've said about him on the show.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Good.
He came in.
Is he going to come on the show?
Charlie,
you want him to?
George?
Yeah.
We'd like George to come on this show to finally discuss how old he is.
But I was coming in to tell you there was somebody else who was looking for you and wanted to say hi.
Who's that?
Arch Campbell. I was told he was sitting outside of the booth waiting for a chance to come in and say hi, but he never did.
Oh, really?
He's not a fan.
Arch Campbell probably
wanted to say hi.
He might. Arch is one of those people who has kind of given us the ant once in a while, but not over the top. And Arch is somebody who I would certainly speak with. I would not look at Arch like I looked at some of the writers that have written things about us before.
What about when we goofed on Arch Campbell for cleaning his car that day?
Yeah,
that's right.
That
at the movie theater.
I don't know that there's been any contact between Arch and the show.
I'm only talking about, like, from us to Arch, not Arch to us. You know, as far as stuff we say stuff about everybody.
Right.
But what did George, so what happened with George?
So George comes in the broadcast booth before the Redskins show goes on. There you go. And at first it was all the standard stuff. You're like, Geronimo. Look at this. Here we are, two disc jockeys doing sports. Ain't life grand, right? He's doing all that crap. And then he tells me, he says, you know why I'm like Dan Snyder? I said, why are you like Dan Snyder? He says, because I fired four people last week.
And yeah,
I said,
that's George.
Wow. I said, excuse me? He said, I watched the tape of the Redskins, you know, because George does the play-by-play on the Redskins
TV. Right.
He said, I didn't feel the broadcast was up to snuff. I graded it out at a 78, so I fired four people.
Oh, God. No.
You know, thank God we don't have that quality control here.
Oh, my God.
So then we glad hand for a minute, and he leaves, and he says, oh, well, listen, I need to talk to you later. I'll come back, though.
Right.
I go, okay, no problem. He leaves. Now, he's in the booth right next door to us. He's doing the TV.
Sure.
And at the same time that we're doing the radio show, at one point, I see him going like this.
And give me,
come here.
Come here.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I go, wait, you're in the commercials. I'll be right there. So as it turns out, it syncs up the TV and the radio, both commercials at the same time.
Right.
I walk over. George goes, hey, Geronimo, how long I known you? I said, I don't know, George.
15 years.
Right. He says, just do me a favor. Stop asking how old I am. I said, all right. So how old are you? Oh, come on.
He wouldn't give it to you.
No.
We'll never get it now. I know that. I know that.
Hello,
sure.
Cameron. Hey, guys. You were talking about Arch earlier.
Yes.
When I was going to the sidelines
right.
to do my job with the Redskins, I caught him, and we were talking, and he says, you work at JFK, right? I said, he says, where's Geronimo? Is Geronimo up there? I said, yeah, he's up there somewhere. He's pointing out the booth. He said, please tell him that I'm a fan. I don't know why he doesn't think I'm a fan. I'm a fan of both those guys.
Okay.
So he was really? They're looking for you.
Oh, all right. Okay, Arch, we accept that. We actually made fun of him. But he did that one thing, you know.
No, Arch.
Remember when we first started working
Arch
here?
Arch has slammed us on Channel 4, man.
But he hasn't slammed. Here comes Chris. Chris, our production director.
Hi, Chris.
Another story about TV people.
I was sitting out in the food lobby, the cafeteria area, the right behind the press box, and Arch came up to me. And he saw my JFK logo on the shirt and said, hey, you work for JFK. Please tell Don and Mike that you know, what's the hard feelings thing about it?
Wow.
And he said, I think they're mad at me because I won't go on a show. And then he says, because I have a deal with another radio station.
Oh, really? So everybody, three people now, Arch comes to trying to put out the olive branch.
That's wacky.
Very interesting.
I wanted to say, please tell them hi and tell them I really mean, you know, hi.
He's a fan.
He's a fan.
Hmm. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Chris, thank you.
You know something? I think we're making a bit more of him than we should anyway. I mean, no offense, Arch. Talking about Arch 15 seconds at the end of the 11 o'clock car Campbell here, you know? Come
Arch
on.
Campbell never met a movie he didn't love.
It's terrific. He had one review I saw like weeks ago where he gave it like his lowest grade ever, and they were all like, "Ooh, Arch, what's that?"
I hated it.
Now listen,
frankly, we've never wanted to have Arch Campbell on this show.
Mm-hmm.
He was on, wasn't he on our show like 10 years ago? Or
he was.
Like
he
that?
Would usually come on our show when he would be doing a piece on us for the TV. He'd come down and he'd come on our show. We'd laugh about maybe movies or something, and then he'd do a piece on, you know, is anybody listening?
Yeah, he wrote, give me that thing. When we first started, it's under the A's, Robbie, for Arch Campbell.
Doing the afternoon show here at WJFK in Washington, Arch was actually the first guy to do a TV piece.
Yeah, but it wasn't a nice TV piece.
It wasn't nice enough. It falls into the category we didn't think it was nice enough, and rightly so. We know it took me a while to find people who were listening, and we didn't like that because he was slamming us.
Right. Arch has never had good things to say about us.
He's
on
never
TV.
Given us a glowing report, but he's done more than a lot of TV people in this market.
He
has done TV. I am giving it to you absolutely as accurate as I can. That is the truth about Arch. Listen, we have slammed Arch.
I don't remember all the details, but there's always a good reason
to hate.
When we hate someone,
I know.
There's always a reason. Robbie, you got to refresh my memory. Why do we hate Arch Campbell?
Rob will help you with your hatred. Rob is a hate enabler.
Listen, if there's not a reason to hate,
right.
I will throw in the white.
I'm not disagreeing. I too have a problem with that one piece of tape that we play and we hear all the time.
But I know that we're talking about that tape now 7 years old.
It's true.
We're talking about.
But if he was slamming us, I mean, that's certainly it could be 50 years old. It was not
something more recent than that, though.
Where he did something about us.
Yeah, where he said something to somebody.
See, I remember the good, too. Don't you remember when we went on his television show? he had us as guests on his television show, and we were very excited about it. We really
Mike,
were.
We were young. We were naive.
He was the first.
We didn't know anything about TV.
That was before Panorama. I have a very good TV memory.
Wow.
Well, we don't have the Arch tape.
No, we've got it. Bobo just can't find it.
Acting crazy now, ain't they? You know, that's from Arch's piece.
Never mind, Rob.
It was a report about your first day. I remember the tape. It was a report about your first day on the air. And I think when he asked, is anybody listening, it was sort of a rhetorical, smarmy TV reporter question. You're even nicer about it. I think it was maybe a little bit
Does anybody remember why we were feuding with Arch Campbell?
Jim Vance is the one over there that we think really, really hates us.
But I ask the question again. Does anybody remember exactly why we're feuding with Arch Campbell? Because there's more to it than just one report he did on us 7 years ago.
I don't think we have a... We don't have... It's not a feud that's at the level of anything that we... Any of the real feuds we've had. It's always kind of... It's the combination of that piece, maybe a couple other things he's done on the TV that weren't all that great about us. But I'll tell you also this. It's the fact that he's Arch. You see? And we kind of slam him because he's Arch, and he just has that Arch, you know... And maybe that's it.
That's our only tape we have from Arch Campbell.
I know. I'll find it during the next commercial break.
Okay.
Thank you, though, Robbie.
Well, thank again. Hey, this thing is a bomb, and it's boring as heck.
It's one of his bad reviews, Arch's...
All right, well, I'll find that tape during the commercial. But either way, you know, Arch Campbell wants to mend fences.
Absolutely. I think it's a good call.
Consider the fence mended.
And you didn't get George's age out of him, huh?
No.
But he was aware of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very aware. George.
That's George.
I thought we pieced some stuff together and determined that he's 64. I thought that was the age of George.
I thought
64.
I think you have the wrong first number.
Really?
I do.
Let me get to think he's 70.
I thought that we had determined that maybe.
Because I remember the song When I'm 64 came to mind.
All right,
and determined
you're right,
and that sort of locked into my memory. Let me call someone who has no axe to grind here.
Hello?
Here's my son who met George Michael at the football game on Friday night.
Very good.
Hey, Barty.
Hello. Yeah.
Remember when you met that nice guy, George Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Right as soon as he leaves the room.
You almost said it.
I know.
You met that nice old man.
As soon as he leaves the room, Bart goes, hey, Dad, was that Chicago? And yeah, that's him. Barty?
Yeah?
What would you estimate that nice man's age to be?
63.
63?
Okay. All right, that's okay. We can go with that one. Buzz said 64, Bart says 63.
And what else did we...
I'd say 75.
What else did we notice about Mr. Michael?
His yarmulke.
No, that was his bald spot. At one point, they had one of the TV monitors were in our Redskins booth, And George was turning around looking out on the field.
Right.
And they had a shot in the back of his head. And all I could think to say to Bart was, look it, there's a guy with a bigger bald spot than me. A huge bald spot for George Michael. Yeah, yarmulke size. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
All right, I love you.
Love you, too.
Hey, and Barty?
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't tell Daniel Snyder that the Jets are your favorite team.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. But he's playing the game. He's playing the game. He volunteered that a couple of years back.
Yeah.
Right. I like the Jets, Mr. Snyder. I like the New York Jets.
Because that's what Snyder said to him. Oh, so you're Bart. And he said, yes. And Snyder said to him, are you a Redskins fan? And that's when my underpants started to go up the crack of my behind.
He said, yeah.
Yeah, because I was sure Bart was going to say, no, I'm a New York Jets fan. But he said, no, I'm a Redskins fan.
And what was your impression of Mr. Schmetter? You think he's a can-do guy, going to get the job done?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like some of the guys we worked for, I mean, at the, you know. Oh, okay, good.
I'll write down a word.
All right.
That I would describe Mr. Snyder as, and I mean this only in the best way.
Ah.
You know how you can call a guy that, and it's sometimes,
absolutely.
Sometimes a compliment and sometimes it's a put down?
But you know he's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Very determined.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Very exciting. I know you're uncomfortable talking about it, so we won't continue
to
try. And I don't blame you.
A little bit.
I'd be, shoes on the other foot, I'd feel the same way.
He goes down on the field. You should see Norv come running over to him like his dog. Hello, Charlie.
He's 63.
George Gimble is?
Yes, he is.
How do you know that?
I do.
How do you know?
I do.
Come on. No. How do you know how old George is?
No.
You've spoken to a source.
I hear my phone.
Oh, you lie. Come back and tell us how you know how old George is.
You won't.
Is.
I know. Inspector Gadget. Once he digs his heels in, he's not telling us.
Okay.
63. It looks good for 63.
He does.
I didn't say that. It's a joke. It's very energetic.
Chicago! Absolutely. Hey, you're on hold. Knock it off about my age, okay?
That's no big deal.
No.
That's no big deal. I mean, I hope he's not concerned. I mean, I think he should sing it from the highest mountaintop. Be proud.
What is it in dog years?
Oh, my God. He's 2 years from... Well, 65 is not mandatory retirement anymore, is it?
No.
55 it is.
No, Walter. Hey.
It was under D, though.
Good going, Rob.
D for debut?
No,
Don
D,
and Mike.
D for Don and Mike.
Ah, very good.
Channel 4.
Debut.
All right. Here's why we've been mad at this TV guy. And I've been told now it's nearly 9 years since this report aired.
Yeah.
This was 1991
This report aired.
Those local radio bad boys, Don and Mike, are back on the air, but it's not the same. It's not the same time. It's not the same station.
Many different things have happened to them. They are the ego hogs of Washington.
There you go.
Okay, start right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's it, the ego hogs.
Right. 9 years.
Okay.
We still don't forget.
But now, you got to play a tape sometimes.
Okay.
Get it back.
Here we go.
Mike off the air for 2 months. Now they've jumped stations and switched times. Is our town ready for Don and Mike in the afternoon?
Negative.
Today, we return to the airwaves after 2 months of living hell.
2 months ago, Don and Mike called in sick to their morning show on WAVA and haven't been heard from since until 2 this afternoon when they burst forth on a new station, WJFK, in a new time slot, 2 to 6 in the afternoon. So their 5.5 years together, they've made a lot of people really mad. Feminists hate them.
Negative.
They've had a couple of lawsuits thrown at them.
Negative.
They've also won loads of diehard fans who love their right-up-to-the-edge sense of humor.
Positive.
How many negatives, how many positives?
I believe 4 negatives so far in the story and 1 positive.
This is why, Arch. This is why.
Let's see if it balances out. That's a valid.
It won't balance out. Keep playing it.
Is there bad blood between you guys and WAVA?
Us and WAVA?
Oh, no. So how was today's first show? Well, they were nervous for the first 5 minutes or so, and then it seemed to be Beard's business as usual.
Inside.
Will anybody listen to Don and Mike in the afternoon?
Negative.
It took me a while to find somebody tuned in.
6 negatives.
That's negative.
6 negatives, 1 positive so far. But then at the end, he has a line. This is so pathetic.
We're coming off the number one rated morning show. Why is there a question?
And this
if anyone would listen to us in the afternoon.
And at the very end, he has a positive, but it's kind of a half-hearted thought. You'll hear it when he goes back to the live.
All right. Here we go. Back to the tape.
Anybody? Are you listening to Don and Mike?
No.
Rush Limbaugh. You listening to Rush Limbaugh, not Don and Mike?
Yeah. That's the ML.
But hey, this is just the first day.
You listened to them before?
Yeah.
When they were 105?
Yeah.
That's true.
Did
you detect any difference?
There you go, right there.
acting crazy now. Don and Mike, they're on 2 to 6 on WJFK 106.7. Tonight, I will take the high road and report.
That's a negative. Tonight, I will take the high road.
Yeah.
As if to say.
7-1.
He's taking the low road.
7-1.
I think you're right. I think he does say that he expects us to have a good run.
He says, I think they'll have a good run.
Okay. That's the wrong tape. The retirement of a man who has influenced every news broadcast for the better in our town. So watch that at 11.
This will be
and I think they're going to have a good run in the afternoon, actually.
Well, they're not going to be able to call people up and wake them up anymore, which is becoming a nasty habit of theirs.
Do I detect? But they woke you up.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Well, we liked having our headphones on, didn't you?
Just for a little while,
You like radio, don't you?
I like radio.
Well, anybody who doesn't like radio.
It's like, it was fun. I'm glad for them.
Well, so much for radio. This is TV, folks, and the NBC Nightly News on television coming up next.
We'll see you at 11. Have a good evening.
Wendy Rieger, friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so.
Even when I talk about her skin?
Yes, I believe so. I believe through all that.
You know who's got worse skin than Wendy Rieger?
Oh.
Have you seen Ken Brew's skin?
Yes. Oh, man, the Brew Crew.
Oh, my
Brew
God.
Crew's like right on his neck.
He is like Freddy Krueger, not only on his neck, I mean up on his cheeks and stuff.
Have you seen him out there at the ballpark?
No, I just saw him on TV on the other night.
You'll have to get an eye. Yeah, I'm sure you'll bump into him or see him, so you have to give us an eyewitness account of that skin.
Oh, my God. Ken Brew, it's amazing to me that a guy with skin this bad could be on TV. I mean, Wendy Rieger has a little bit
little
bit of action left, from, I guess, acne when she was a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, Ken Brew, looks like he was a fire victim or something. Awful. All right, well, what was the final count on Arch Campbell?
It was overwhelming. It was like 8-2, something like that. And it really, that is why we've held the grudge. And that is why, but the important thing, and I'm simply, because of the length of time that has passed, I will mention the important thing out of that is the very last thing he says to his viewers is a positive, where he says, I think they'll have a good run.
You.
But when he does the thing about the ego hogs, when he does the thing, is anybody listening? And there's a bunch of stuff in there. But if he wants to crawl back on his hands and knees and beg our forgiveness, my recommendation would be that we take him back.
Well, I have to hear from him first.
Very good. Personally?
Yes.
A call?
Yeah.
With tears and everything?
And don't come up to me at a football game where I'm not going to be able to prove that you came up and wanted us to be your friend.
Yeah, and in a football game where you're talking to the owner of the Redskins and you're talking to George and, come on.
Right, call the show. Hey, Robbie, call over to Channel 4. Right.
See if Arch wants to come on the air with us. But he won't. See, he won't because he used that lame excuse that Chris said about that he's under contract with another station.
But he couldn't come on the air and just say, hey, I'm sorry.
Of course
he
could.
Be my friend. Right? I mean, if he really wants to be our friend. Can't one friend call another friend?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it'd be perfectly legitimate.
All right, what station does he work for anyway?
WRC.
No, what radio station?
Oh, I don't know. Oh,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Very, very testy defensive there on that one. That's as testy as you get. But I noticed it. I want you to know that.
I know he works for WRC.
I don't know.
TV.
My brain is filled with so many things.
Channel 4.
They call me Brain.
What, Chris? Oh, Wash? Oh, please, no one listens to Wash. He could come on our show, and I guarantee no one who listens to Wash would ever know that.
Charlie Stossel would get upset.
Right, movie man versus movie man.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Mike Radio Show. I'm sorry you missed our call, but this would like to extend an open invitation to call the Don and Mike Show anytime.
No. Give me the phone. Hi, Arch. It's Don. Not an open invitation. An invitation like today or tomorrow. To call the show, please, and set the record straight.
Whether you like us or not.
Based on your report that you did in 1991 about our show.
Just say we want to know whether you really like us or really don't.
Did you hear that, Arch? And listen, we just added up all the positives and negatives in your report of 8 years ago.
It was eight negatives, two positives.
Eight negatives and two positives. So I'm sorry I missed you at the Redskins game the other night. Keep polishing your car, and please call us. We're waiting to hear from you.
Very good.
Thank you, Arch.
Very professional.
Bye-bye.
So that you couldn't have handled that more professionally.
Thank you, Mike.
As far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
I thought that was terrific. And, Arch Campbell is somebody who has been here for a million years on TV in Washington. And I like those TV guys. It's fun to get them on the show. And we'll find out once and for all how he really feels.
He won't call.
No, I would not.
He won't call.
Would we, anybody interested in a wager on that? I'd say I'm with you, unfortunately, so I can't bet against you.
No, I would bet he'll never call.
There's no way.
No, nobody thinks he'll ever call.
No, if he's talking to every employee of the radio station at a football game about being buddy-buddy, then, going to put up or shut up.
No, he won't call. I guarantee it. Okay, here's what I wanted to play you.
All right.
This is a surprise.
Oh, a dick. I thought the George was the surprise.
No, that's not the surprise.
Okay.
So, now I get past all of that. I meet all those people. I'm actually doing the Redskins show. Now, because the Redskins show is on a real network.
Right.
Unlike the network that we're on.
Yes.
When we go to commercial break on the Redskins network.
The hard break.
You got to break. You got to take the commercials at the right times. And we don't hear the commercials.
Right.
We hear filler. And normally it's somebody back at the station who comes on and says over our headphones, Don, you have a minute and a half left in this break.
Okay.
So I said to the guys last week during the game, listen, give me something a little peppier than John Pop coming on every 30 seconds and saying there's 30 seconds left in this break.
Right.
So they went to Tim McWilliams and thought that they could get Tim to make it a little livelier. So this is something that only the guys working on the Redskins radio crew here.
Very good.
During the commercial break. So during the first set on Friday night, we said, okay, Redskins and the Buffalo Bills, we'll be right back on the Redskins radio network. We go to break, and this is what we hear. That's the out cue.
At the tone, 1.5 minutes left in the break.
Wait.
Running with the devil. At the tone, only 1 minute left in the break. Catch that fever. Catch that fever. Catch that fever. Catch that fever. Catch that fever.
Oh, my God.
Catch that fever. At the tone, 30 seconds left in the break. Tonight is gonna be a good somewhere in this town. Me and the boys, we don't like it, so we're getting up and going down.
This music.
I don't know, I'm moving right and left. At the tone, just 10 seconds left.
Okay, I got another whole tape.
Oh, that is hysterical.
There's another one where he does like R-E-S-P-E-C-T by Aretha Franklin.
Tim McWilliams, come bringing you back to the break.
Okay, let's, you know what? We do have to do a break.
Very good.
And then when we come back, we'll hear Tim sing more of his classic rock favorites.
I had no idea that he had this hidden talent. I wish he'd shared it with everybody before.
Neither did I. And the funniest thing, two funny things. First time I heard it, I about peed my pants.
Oh, you've got to come back and go on the air, and that had to be great.
So, and the second time I laughed my ass off is we're sitting in the commercial set, right? And Sonny Jurgensen comes into the studio.
Right.
Because he's going to do his break with us. Sonny sits down, and he puts the headphones on, and he starts talking to us, and he goes, you know how Sonny talks. I think it's going to be a good test for the Redskins tonight, Don. You know, the Buffalo Bills have an excellent defense. Bruce Smith.
Stone, 1.5 minutes left in the break.
Bruce Smith really, really pressures the quarterback. And then he hears this. And Sonny stops for a minute and he goes, are you playing that now?
Yeah!
And I said, no, Sonny, they're just playing that for us.
Who is
that evil man?
Oh, yeah!
I don't like him.
Oh,
I don't think he should be on the radio.
Oh, I laughed my ass off.
Tim McWilliams, always entertaining.
At the tone, only 1 minute left in the break. Catch that fever! Catch that fever!
Oh, man, Tim McWilliams, we hardly knew you.
Catch that fever!
All right, we'll hear more with Tim.
Catch that fever! Yeah!
Really, he committed, you know? He went all the way with it.
Catch that fever!
Oh, that's a stud.
More of this.
Catch that fever!
And more stuff coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Made fresh daily with brown eggs. The Don and Mike Show.
I want to mention something here. You know, we made the announcement earlier today that we've had to cancel this week's Las Vegas style show.
Right.
And we're sorry about that. I'd just like to point out that we are canceling the show because the ABC board has threatened to arrest our listeners.
Right.
For participating. In no way being shut down by the good people at the Masquerades nightclub.
No, no, they have nothing to do with that. This is ABC, and that's why this is happening. So please do not blame the people at Masquerades for this. They're good folks. They wanted to have us out there.
We just heard that they're getting, like, flooded with calls, people saying bad stuff to them.
No, no way.
Frankly, it's not them. They're great. They still wanted us to come. The guy that runs the club said that he would eat whatever fines ABC gave his club.
Yeah,
right?
So back off those people. They're good folks, and knock it off.
Short of shutting him down, he still wanted us to come out, but we were offered no guarantees by ABC.
Absolutely.
That our listeners would not be arrested, and we can't do that. So we've had to cancel the Las Vegas style show for Thursday night, but please don't hold that against the good people at Masquerade.
Very good.
I was watching the hurricane coverage yesterday. I'll play you the other Tim McWilliams stuff in a second here.
Mm-hmm. Hurricane Brett Marski?
Yeah, I'm watching the hurricane coverage. You know, it was... like everything these days,
mm-hmm.
right. Nothing good.
Like not Dan Rather strapped to a tree, which is always, to me, that's the zenith in hurricane coverage. You got to get a reporter out there in the 200-mile-an-hour wind strapped with duct tape to a tree.
And I'm going to bust on a lady from CNN, mm-hmm. because, frankly, I expect more from CNN.
Yes.
It's the 6 o'clock broadcast of the world today.
Won't be Christiane Amanpour, will it?
Sure won't. With her big mustache.
Stop it. You know she's
lovely. What a butch she is.
Oh, no.
They have a girl who's hosting the show.
Right.
And I'm waiting to see, as you mentioned, the guy that's strapped to a tree in Corpus
right.
Christi,
right?
Mm-hmm. So they go to the guy in Corpus Christi, and you can tell the guy's disappointed.
Right.
Because it's barely raining there.
Sure.
It's about 6 o'clock last night. He goes, well...
big shot. He wants the big gale.
The TV people are all upset because the hurricane has gone between Brownsville and Corpus Christi.
They missed it.
It instead has gone to a county
right.
where only 400 inbred Texans live. It's gone to the county that's unpopulated.
Right, and all the TV jokes, you know, because it's easy. They're all where the nice hotels and where they can set up shop, where the conveniences are.
So the anchor lady, she's talking to the guy, and he's saying, well, there's not much, you know, as a matter of fact, the sun's out. They're saying, you know, it's not looking that bad. The anchor lady, obviously strapped for something to say. She says, and this is a quote, just got me going. She says, well, it's like a saying my grandmother used to have. My grandmother used to say this a lot to me when I was a girl. You know, there's something my grandmother used to say. She set it up 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Right? And I'm thinking, what is this word of wisdom I'm going to hear? My grandmother used to say... better safe than sorry.
Anchor person. You know, limited intellectual capacity.
And the guy that's standing out in the storm, he goes, your grandmother was a very wise woman.
That's such TV anchor
and
talk.
Goes,
that's great.
Yes, she was. And I'm looking at the TV screaming, your freaking grandmother did not come up with better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry. Yes, yeah, sorry. We're TV people now. That's wisdom.
Please.
Wisdom of the highest order from Grandmama.
Your grandma was a very wise person.
Better safe than sorry. Yes.
Buzz, do you have the story about the dolphin that raped a guy?
No, I don't.
Then I'm glad to bring this to your attention.
A dolphin raped a man?
This is from Oslo in Norway.
I'm beautiful.
Okay. The top-selling daily newspaper in Norway has quoted a 28-year-old man as saying a dolphin mistook him for a female after swimming alongside him in the sea off South Norway. The dolphin's penis got caught between the man's swimming costume.
That's what I wear when I am at the beach, a swimming costume.
The dolphin's penis got caught between the man's swimming costume and his legs.
Oh, dolphin-rific.
Before the man managed to climb back on his boat. Quote, the dolphin shoved me forward 2 or 3 meters before I got loose. At first I thought it was his fin. But dolphins don't have fins on their underbellies.
Oh, dear.
A friend of the man, a diving instructor who saw the dolphin rape attack, told the newspaper the dolphin tried it with me, too. But I was wearing protection, a wetsuit.
Ah, always wear a wetsuit when you're about to be raped by a dolphin.
I love the dolphin rape story.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay,
the dolphin and the man are doing fine?
Yeah, the dolphin left.
He left, you know, going to look for maybe his own species.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
No, the dolphin was not Dan Marino.
Oh, okay.
Stop
it. I didn't know.
Okay.
Mahatma McCormick in that game.
Let's hear a little more Tim McWilliams. Because after I hear the original stuff during the Redskins game, I think, okay.
Right.
That was a funny joke for the first commercial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, you know, we're getting ready for the game, and I say, coming back, Redskins and the Buffalo Bills. We'll be right back on the Redskins Radio Network.
And then we go to commercial. This is what I hear.
At the tone, now there's 3 minutes left in the break. Running with the devil.
So they do it again.
I think I'm going to hear the exact same tape again.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, I'm going to hear the long version. Running with the devil. With a different variety of Tim McWilliams singing classic rock.
He knows the lyrics. Fantastic.
Woo! At the tone, we're down to 2.5 minutes left in the break. Cats and Beaver! I will tell you, by the 10th time I heard this during commercials,
oh, I can imagine it got a little tedious.
I was ready to pull my hair out.
Got a little rub.
Cats and Beaver! Catch that fever! But there's a different variety of song coming up. 2 minutes left of that break. Going to Bob O'Reilly. Out here in the field. I'm back for money. I got my back. Here is the man of the moment.
Secret.
Bravo, Tim McWilliams.
Yay.
Bravo. Fantastic
effort. Who knew that you had this in you?
Listen, do you want my autograph now, or should we wait until after you?
I have no idea, Mike, that you have this hidden musical talent,
Tim.
How
do you think I make it on the street? People ask me all these years, hey, man, what's your secret? You sing to them clients, baby. They give you money. One reason or another.
Now, were you drunk when you did this?
No, I was calling, stone sober in Chris's production studio, and he said he needed something interesting. I said, Chris, I don't know if you know, but I can sing. And he's a believer now.
Oh, we all are, Tim. That's truly a masterpiece.
Cracked me up, Tim. Now, did you do this without a lyric sheet?
Absolutely. It was a while before I, got the words back. As a matter of fact, it's questionable whether I even got them back. But
you lean towards a classic rock type before.
Well, you know, I am 44. I mean, yes. That is my roots, and the whole scheme really did come from Chris. He had the whole concept, and he dragged
back
me.
Back in the days where you were a roadie for Bob Seger, right?
Yes. Well, actually, I was more of a Motown. Respect was my best one. Didn't you think, Don?
Oh, I'm getting to that. Hold on.
I mean,
Tim.
That's really the other ones were outtakes.
Man knows his hits, doesn't he?
Okay, here we go.
Absolutely.
Let's get back. Don't leave, Jim. Stay there.
At the tone. 1.5 minutes left in the break.
He's
into it.
That's it.
The roots.
What you want? Baby, I got it. What you need? Now I got it. Lord, I'm asking for you, baby.
Oh, we're getting some live Tim here.
Just a little bit.
Oh, my God.
What's next, Tim?
Only 1 minute left in the break.
1 minute left in the break, I tell you that. Rebel, rebel,
oh, yeah.
The place is a mess.
This is not my strength.
Rebel, rebel,
I got to have the most out of
it. Oh, I think it is your strength, Tim. He's doing scat.
And then that's when I think it's jailbreak, right?
I love you so. At the tone, 30 seconds left in the break.
Tonight is gonna be a jailbreak. Somewhere in this town.
Oh my God, this is great.
Boys, we don't like it.
Oh, man.
Pumped up the broadcast,
isn't it? I don't know. I'm moving right to left.
We were happy the first time we heard it.
At the tone, just 10 seconds left.
There's no more singing.
Oh, my God.
No more singing.
Tim McWilliams, way to go. Tim, is that a new haircut you have today? Come back and tell us about your haircut today.
I decided to take it down a notch. You know me with trying this and trying that. We went through the dye syndrome. It didn't go over real big on the street.
I don't think I've seen a nicer haircut since A Clockwork Orange was made by Stanley Kubrick. That's just a little joke. Come on, Tim.
All
you
right,
know,
I kid because I love. All right. Sensitive about my hair. But, yeah, I cut a little short.
It's very rooster-ish.
It's terrific. It does. It stands up at the top. But
Are you
going
to be appearing this weekend in The Last of the Mohicans?
It was very nice. I know you guys are busy sources. I got to go.
How you getting along with upper management, Tim?
They treating you okay, Tim? Are you planning on any...
How you doing with Alan and Ken?
Changes in lifestyle?
Oh, Alan's just a great individual to work for. You know, we went through that last time, Don. And he's a beautiful individual. I know he's sitting there listening. So, he's a great guy to work for. Ken, I don't see that much.
Uh-huh.
I don't see Ken that much.
But you get along when you see him now?
I understand at the ratings party last month that there were some words exchanged between yourself and Ken Stevens.
Well, I think that was a little exaggerated. I think Ken asked me... what was my performance out of... I know what it was. I know we had the sheet on the board, on the side of the wall where you have to sign out.
These poor salespeople, listen,
they have to sign out.
They treat them like slaves. The salespeople have to write on this big piece of paper, on a bulletin board for everybody to see...
Where they're going
to
be.
What time they come in, what time they leave, and where they're going to be
right
at all times during their work day.
Right. And, I mean, during the new Tim period, of course, I filled it out, and you saw 7, 8, and 9 calls a day. Well, of course, the new Tim thing went by the wayside, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And they went back to the old Tim. Well,
which means you don't want to have anything to do with that board. You just get your results, and that's what speaks for where you're going to be.
You've been there, right?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
So Ken one day saw that, and it was the day before the party. And he said, hey, Tim, I see no calls up. Does that mean you're not hitting the streets? I said, Ken, the day I don't hit the streets is the day I retire, because that's how I make my money. Mm-hmm. And he was questioning on my work ethic. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, Ken, anytime you want to match me on the street, bring a lunch, bring a second pair of shoes, because I intend to wear your corporate face right out. That was about the way it went.
I'm giving you a round of applause for that one. I heard that
there was a discussion about your work ethic, and that you got
seriously.
You got your panties on the wad, and you left the party.
People say a lot of things about you, Tim, as you know, but I'll tell you one thing. You would be the last person here that anybody would say anything. I mean, you really are here. Why do you think he said that? Do you think he said that because he didn't know you? I mean,
No. I think he was just picking at me. I think Ken and I are... I think he respects me, and I'd like to think that he likes me, but that may be going a bit far. But he did give me his computer.
He did?
Yeah.
His old computer?
Well, a black one that was sitting behind his desk. I walked up to
the laptop?
Office. No, not the laptop. That's sacred ground, Mike. That's sacred ground.
Yeah.
But no, the one that was sitting behind his desk, the ones that he gets the ratings in on.
Okay.
I walked in one day, I said, Mr. Stevens, I got a deal for you, you can't refuse. You buy me a computer, and you set any number for any month, any quarter, whatever the agenda is, and I'll match it or beat it, and if I don't, I buy the computer. So with that, he turned around, he said, take that one.
Ooh.
I said, done. I came back up. I pulled the extension cord. His phone lines out. His phones went dead on the spot. Pulled that out and got that thing out of here before he had a chance to change his mind. Sitting on my cubicle right now.
So you did not get in a fist fight with Ken at the party?
No.
Did you leave the party in a huff, though? Were you upset?
No. It was...
Because that's the way it was relayed to me. It was relayed to me. You just missed. Ken had a scene with Tim.
We thought you might be going home to call your friend Sammy the Bull.
No. Sammy's a little undercover right now. He's a little tough to get, but no, Ken and I were fine. In fact, he invited me into a pool game, but I did, just bowed out.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it wasn't as bad.
Nice.
Hey, you know what it was? It was that feeding frenzy, too, with anything happening.
Yeah.
They would all prey upon each other.
So you did know Sammy the Bull when you were a young man?
Oh, he's passed me on the street, but Sammy the Bull was untouchable. I mean, he was the guy in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't, there's certain people you didn't even have
any contact with.
No, you don't even walk on the same sidewalk with him.
Really?
I mean, it's the stuff that you read in a book is absolutely true. I mean, they had their own domain, and you didn't mess with it.
You ever get shaken down by mafia guys?
No, actually, it's funny thing about the mafia neighborhoods. They're actually very safe neighborhoods, except if you happen to cross them, then you end up, dead.
Right.
But aside from that, there's no littering. There's no stealing cars. There's no stealing grandma's wallet. That's not going to happen. They're actually very safe neighborhoods, except for, bullets, getting in the way of bullets every once in a while.
You ever run numbers?
No. I'm squeaky clean. Squeaky clean, Don. You know that. Squeaky clean. Yep.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to speak with Tim McWilliams.
You know, there's a lot going on there that we don't get to tap into underneath.
Yeah. You could do 3 hours of interviews, and if he was being totally honest, you might find some interesting things out.
I've heard some stuff about
Tim McWilliams.
Kind of a wild man.
Yes, absolutely.
And I heard maybe that, he's mobbed up, or he's been mobbed up in the past.
A little connected, not made, of course, with the name McWilliams. That wouldn't happen, but,
Forget about it, Mike.
You read all those books, Don,
A lot of the Irish guys are the guys that do the real nasty stuff.
And you know, I came this close to seeing that Hugh Grant movie, the Mafia movie.
Forget about it.
I watched the first 5 minutes of it, and I ended up walking out and going to Teaching Mrs. Tingle instead.
You didn't you didn't watch any of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it looked so funny.
It looked gay. Really, the first 5 minutes, what you've seen in the ads?
Right.
That's it.
Oh, man.
Forget about it. Forget about it. We went to see Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
How was Mrs. Tingle?
Kicks ass.
Really?
Great movie about an evil teacher who gives all the kids bad grades.
She's a great actress, that lady. I'd like to see that movie.
So they take her and they break into her house and they got one of those big bow and arrow things. And they
a crossbow?
Yeah, they shoot her and they end up tying her to the bed.
Mrs. Tingle.
And Hank Kingsley's in the movie.
Tambor.
Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor.
Tambor, buddy.
That's a good movie. We will come back. Right. After the toe, tapping touch phones. Clear the lines. You got a caller 100. The prize package we've selected especially for the 100th person to call the show right now on the toll-free line at 1-800-636-1067.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is Sports 1140. Sleep You. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, we tried. Yeah. I gotta stop giving out the old phone number.
It's a habit. We've had it for a good long time.
I know. I just gave out the wrong phone number when we went to break.
Well, pour some tussin' on it.
All right, I'm caller 100.
Right. Fortunately, everybody knows to call us Re-OK Dodo.
Yeah, they've memorized it already.
What is your name, sir?
This is JJ from Chambersburg.
JJ.
Yes, how you guys doing?
JJ, caller 100. And you have won two more passes to the movies, plus a prize pack from the movie The Iron Giant.
Cool.
Courtesy of AMC Theaters, and we thank you for listening.
All right, thanks, dude.
Are you from Chambersburg, PA?
Yes, sir.
Any idea what station you listen to us on?
1490.
Right on.
WARK.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend.
All right, thank you very much. I'll be holding.
Speaking of WARK,
yes,
that is the station in Hagerstown, Maryland, the ARC, where Mike the TV Boy works.
Right, and Mike the TV Boy has picked up his game recently.
You know, he sent us a tape today.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what's on this tape. It says contents, intro.
Okay.
Regis and Arnold.
Really?
Don and Mike Broccoli. Larry King. Exit. Rob, have you heard this tape? Is this worth us listening to right now?
It's short enough that yes. If it was longer, I would not waste your time with it, but I think you might enjoy a couple moments.
Very good.
Where you got it? Tape one?
Yeah, tape one.
All right, let's hear the latest offering from Mike, the TV Boy.
Rob A., good day to you. This is Mike, the TV Boy. I've got some stuff.
Yes, darn it. I might have my own bell.
Yeah. He's kind of like, he's got a little Lewis in him, too, doesn't he?
Johnson.
Like, what it is first Regis and Arnold talking, then Donna Mike Broccoli, too, then a little bit of Larry. Hope you like it.
A little music for behind him, right?
Because he put that fake disc jockey reverb behind him.
Yeah, it's just up his own tape deck.
Okay, here we go.
40s technology.
Here's his first segment.
Well, let me ask you something.
No.
Hey, you can't do that.
I've got news for you. You are mine now.
No.
Stop whining.
No. Well, let me ask you something.
No.
Well, let me ask you something.
Dick says.
Hey, well, let me ask you something.
You idiot. No.
Well, let me ask you something.
Stop it.
Well, let me ask you something.
Shut up. Shut up.
Quiet.
No. Stop it.
No. Well, let me ask you something.
Shut up. Shut up.
Don't hurt me.
Do you think he did those like the old-fashioned way with a razor blade and cut them all together on the tape?
I think he did it with his sampler.
Oh, okay.
The same way he calls us. Those are the very same tapes that he uses when he calls us. And he,
I noticed that.
Pretends to be Regis and Arnold.
I noticed favorites. That they were the exact, yes, old favorites.
All right, what is Don and Mike Broccoli, Rob?
Well, you remember he originally called you with that prank call where he called a Chinese restaurant and asked for Don and Mike Broccoli?
Oh, that didn't make me laugh. That was a stupid call, but that didn't make me laugh.
He's done it again. But he's updated it.
Okay, here we go. Don and Mike Broccoli, too.
Can someone help you?
Hey, you guys have Don and Mike Broccoli.
Excuse me? Don and Mike Broccoli?
What broccoli?
Don and Mike Broccoli. That's hot and spicy broccoli, Don and Mike Broccoli.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, Don and Mike Broccoli.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Hello?
Listen, Don and Mike Broccoli.
What is it?
It's hot and spicy.
Yeah.
Don and Mike Broccoli.
What is Don and
Don and Mike Broccoli.
They're doing this on the other end. I'm sorry, I don't mean to have my crap detector. I'm sure he's probably called a restaurant.
A real Chinese restaurant.
But he's talking to the children that are running the restaurant.
Oh, no, he sounds like a guy to me, like a Chinese dude.
The other person on the other end sounds very young to me.
Oh, you think so?
Let it go.
Hold on, let it go.
I don't say, you know, guy.
Just say Don and Mike Broccoli.
I don't say, you
know. No, I can't hold. Hello?
Yes, sir, can I help you?
Yes, Don and Mike Broccoli.
What's that, say that again, please?
Okay, please.
Don and Mike Broccoli. It's hot and spicy.
Don and Mike Broccoli.
That's the
Don. What's the guy in the background?
The other background was a
hi.
Bring okay. That a little rough.
That's the best you can think.
Mike Broccoli.
What's that, say that again, please?
Don and Mike Broccoli. It's hot and spicy.
That's the funniest part of the rest.
It's hot and spicy.
Don and Mike Broccoli.
Don and Mike Broccoli.
You called here last time. We don't have to order.
How come?
Wait, what? I never heard that, what it was. I don't even know what it was.
I can't believe you never heard of it.
I'm sorry, sir.
Don?
Yeah?
And? Mike?
Uh-huh.
Broccoli.